Let's shake it up, baby.
We might as well. Hi, everybody. It's time to shake it up. It's Bill and it's Wendy. It's Friday. It's the best day ever invented. You know that already. Wendy, I heard you describe today as, and I quote, a glorious day.
A joyous and glorious day.
All this positive attitude. What's going on with you? Where's this coming from? Who are you?
We could break a 137-year record for Chicago.
It's 60 or right around 60 now. And that's
50.
Is it 50?
Yeah, it's not 50. There yet.
But it's going to be 60?
That's the projected high, yeah.
We could break a 137-year-old record.
You know, I always hear people in the weather business say that, and I don't know what we need to do to make that a reality, but I'll try my hardest.
More hot air.
Right. I can do my part.
We can both do it.
Yeah, let's see what we can pull off then. All right.
We are expecting 57 to 64 degrees across Chicagoland, according to the National Weather Service. The prior highest temp set for this date for Chicago was back in 1880 when it hit 60.
Wow.
So if we break it.
What happens?
Balloons come out of the sky.
I knew they were coming out of something.
Expect the unexpected, Steve. That's all Wendy's saying. Well, good. Let's.
I always question the technology. I mean, were they as accurate?
No.
In the 1880s?
See, I agree with Steve. Record keeping was not very good back then. There were no computers.
A warehouse similar to the one at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I picture Tom Skilling pushing over one of those ladders that you see in libraries that are on rollers.
Yes.
Him pushing it over and then climbing up to a very high height and then having to blow the dust off of some weather book from 1888. And then him lovingly paging through it and finding those records.
Where his great-great-uncle Adolphus Skilling kept track of all the data.
Right.
That is a good point, though. They didn't have record-keeping nearly as precise as we do now.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they did. Yeah, no, but you just think that maybe they didn't.
Maybe.
I mean,
I'll still take breaking the record.
The basic premise behind it is the same, the mercury and all that.
Right.
I guess that goes back to biblical times.
Oh, yeah. Mercury's in the Bible all over the place.
Was he a nephew of Job?
Right. Job's nephew Mercury.
Right.
Right. Right. I was wrong with my Bible jokes yesterday, so I don't even dare
tread. Wait, why? What happened?
I gave credit to Judas for things that Peter had said,
and Steve started
to cry. I looked up on the TV screen, and Steve was weeping, and I didn't know what I had done wrong, but I got my biblical references all mixed up.
I did not pay attention in CCD very well, so
Wendy.
I'm really bad. And my husband went to 12 years of Catholic school, so he had it rammed down his throat.
Sure.
And he knows it, but he doesn't want to share it.
Now, I attended a Catholic school, and we didn't like the CCD kids for one simple reason. Can I share that reason with you?
We were more popular?
No, I know what it is.
I bet you do know what it is.
What?
Take a shot.
They didn't have to take religion classes.
No, that's not it.
No, because we used to mess with your desks.
That's it.
I know. I did it.
That's it.
I used to leave things in there.
We would
come in. The old lift-up desks?
Yeah. Well, some years we had the old lift-up desk, but the other ones we just had your standard desk.
The slot.
That had, yeah.
In the front.
Slot in the front. So on Friday, we would all leave, good Catholic kids that we were, with the belief that nobody would mess with our things.
Oh, went through everyone.
On Monday. And,
all
kinds of graffiti on the books, swear words written into stuff.
Yep. To the public kids, that's like someone's medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
We had to look in it. I didn't mess things up, but I did go through all your stuff. I knew exactly where you were going.
CCD kids were our enemy back then.
I will tell you, since we're speaking biblical times, LT High School in LaGrange put on the most kick-ass version of Jesus Christ Superstar last night.
Yeah.
It was opening night.
Yeah,
Michael did great as Judas, but the girl Jesus was awesome.
Now, they did not refer to her as girl Jesus during the production, right?
She was so unbelievable. If you've seen the movie version of it, which I've watched like 100 times,
mm-hmm.
Ted Neely, whom we had in the studio when there was an anniversary of that particular movie,
mm-hmm.
He kind of goes like heavy metal for a while and he gets really up there.
Sure.
She sounded like Ted Neely. I'm not kidding you. She was so good.
That's excellent.
Herod was played by a girl who was awesome. The crucifixion scene was unbelievable. I can't believe I was watching a high school production of this.
That's great.
Night one, three more to go. Hopefully Michael has his voice left.
Was it a controversial thing? Like, were people there? Because traditionally the casting of these roles of Jesus and Herod are done by guys. There's no reason a woman couldn't do it, but I bet some people were a little bit offset by it.
I got to tell you, at the very beginning, I thought, you know, go girls with other roles, but not Jesus.
Yeah.
But she nailed it. And then I thought, you know, if you're... Oh, that is bad.
Wendy.
Oh, my Jesus.
Look at the skies. Look at the skies. Look at how dark it's getting.
I didn't mean that.
What have you done?
You said it. You must have meant it subconsciously.
Look at how dark it got all of a sudden.
Oh, now I feel terrible. She was awesome.
You should start by not eating meat today. Get a jump on Lent.
You're making a lot of the listeners cross. Are you happy now?
I get it. Mine was better.
So, you know, dark it is.
In all seriousness, though, you're talking about the girl Jesus. Even the fact that it you had a Jesus show at public school.
Yeah. This is the first time, and Eugene O'Reilly is the director of theater.
That's where we go for drinks after work.
He wrote this beautiful little thing. I didn't bring the program with me, but he said how he grew up with 13 siblings.
Yeah.
And his older brother.
I get it. All apostles and Jesus.
But right? I'm not even doing this intentionally.
Oh,
this
you're
is
not?
Just
this
no.
Is all right, go on.
And he said his oldest brother brought home the sound. His parents were musicians as well, or performers. And his older brother brought home Jesus Christ Superstar in 72 or whenever it came out, even though he was young. He listened to every song. Anyone who listened to that album knew every word to every song.
Yeah, sure.
And so this was the first time they've been able to perform it at that high school. So he was geeking out.
I bet.
It was just amazing.
Yeah. Are tickets still available?
I'm sure that it was a...
Ticketmaster?
I don't think you have to go to Ticketmaster. You can get them at the box office.
Even better.
I will be there at 2:30 this afternoon because I have to wait in line so I can get front row seats again. Front row center.
Now, you know the show goes till 3. Our show goes till 3.
All right.
3.
Well, 3:30 then.
All right.
Sorry.
I don't know if that's an excused absence, but go for it. Run with it.
It was just amazing. I went last year. Herod was Elle in Legally Blonde, the girl who plays Herod, and she was awesome in that. But
that's incredible range.
Oh, my God.
To play those two parts is very difficult to pull off.
It was.
Within a year.
It was really fantastic. Hi, Jim. Oops. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, you know, Ian Gillan from Deep Purple sang the Jesus Christ Superstar. And, you know, I was going to look at in early 70s.
In a stage production?
I'm sorry?
In a stage production or in the movie?
I believe it was the stage.
It would have to be.
I have the album, but if you want to really hear somebody nail it, that guy, I tell ya,
see what you started.
I think did the best job ever.
Yes, of Deep Purple fame. He was fantastic.
Absolutely, and still is. He still sounds the same.
I bet Josh Groban would be good. I do. I just think if there's a production of Jesus Christ Superstar starring Josh Groban, I will fly to whatever city that takes place in to see that.
Is that a hair thing?
Well, you know who else would sing that is Bruce Dickerson from the Iron Maiden.
He'd be good. Geddy Lee would be good for Rush. I think he would
be. His voice is too grating.
It's definitely right. Completely different. But I just wanted to throw that at you. Anybody that hasn't heard Ian Gillan do that, and if you're a fan of check out Ian Gillan. It's one of the best.
He might be on the original soundtrack to the record, but Ted Neely was in the film. Really awesome. Yes. Thank you, Jim.
Yep. Oh, okay.
And I shouldn't bag on Geddy Lee because Kevin Richter is not here today. Mm-hmm. Elif Garris is filling in.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves Rush so much.
I know that.
So he would have really put up some resistance after I said that.
I'm sure of that.
So I feel the
positive
need. Hi, Ted. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Great. What's up, Ted?
Good. I mean, you're safe for the moment, but did I hear that right? Wendy's going to the box office to get more tickets tonight?
Yes.
I have tickets.
You're not scalping those by chance, are you?
I'm what?
You're not scalping those tickets, are you?
That would be sacrilegious.
Don't do that.
Well, you've done the thing with the 13, nailing Jesus. I saw the cloud drop down when you said that a second ago. I hope Eugene O'Reilly's is way out of downtown.
He's at school right now, so I feel bad now. I didn't mean she nailed it, but she did.
It's better now that you said it a second time.
Thanks, Bill.
Have a good weekend, Ted. All right, a quick break, and then more sacrilegious talk from us, Bill and Wendy, WGN. I just want to point out a very funny text from Wayne. who said that after your nailed it joke, we will definitely be breaking the high temperature record. It's going to get very hot very fast.
Hell is getting closer.
Yep.
Guys, I didn't mean it disrespectfully. Jesus was cool. He would have laughed.
Yeah. Yep. It's like that. And then he would have smoted you.
A bracelet. What would Jesus have laughed at?
It's, right.
It didn't catch on.
Right.
Thought it was a great idea.
They didn't sell any, Steve.
No, not
a
one.
Single sales.
It, like the
sale.
Words went all the way around your head.
Right.
All right, whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes I talk before I think. A lot.
You will be returning tonight for one show. You will return Saturday
I'm going
for a
to all
show.
The shows.
You'll go to all four shows.
You're opening for the play, right? You're
doing no, this. But I got really nervous when Mary Magdalene missed 2 days of school. I was behind her mother in line, and I thought, oh, my God, this is my chance.
Did you start doing vocal warm-ups?
Yes.
Me.
No understudies, which, I mean, honestly.
That's rare. Why would they not have an understudy?
I don't know. I know it's high school level, but, I mean, really, what if some weird accident happened where somebody slipped down the stairs and broke their leg or something?
Right.
Or got laryngitis.
They always have understudies.
I know.
I wonder what the thought process was.
You'd think
there.
One of the apostles could step up
sure.
if necessary.
James the Lesser. That guy does almost nothing.
I'd go greater.
Yeah, I would go.
That'd be right. a better performance.
He's got more ability and range, obviously. I'd just like to go through life being called something the lesser. That's a slam every day of your life.
Bad for your self-esteem.
James the Lesser, phone call. Not sure they had phone back then.
Again.
See, now I didn't do that.
No, but James the Lesser is a lot safer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
You went right for the top, Wendy.
Right. And oh, right God. For the ending.
How embarrassing.
All right, now I'm scared to say anything. Your trick has worked, both of
it
you.
It worked. Our plot.
Just sing it. Sometimes people who can't talk, they sing better. Just
Here's an idea. 219 suggests that Eddie Vedder would be very good in the role of Jesus in
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ Superstar. He would be, wouldn't he?
He really would
I would
be.
Like to see that.
All right. I would. God, that would. Why doesn't he do that? I'm so weirded out now. I don't want to say God. I just, I'm really
to, you're
freaking.
You're almost on, like, parole right now, like religious parole.
I wore a cross yesterday in honor of the Jesus Christ Superstar.
Where is it now?
I forgot to put
get it
on.
You got to get it. We need it.
I have doing renovation right now in our bedroom, so I have no clothes. I have everything is
mm-hmm.
disheveled.
Mm-hmm.
What are you renovating?
The bedroom. What do you mean?
I just wondered.
It's been closed. I don't know if Steve got
oh,
to hear. He
I'm
didn't
sorry.
Hear the segment yesterday with Frank Fontana.
A loft bedroom with an open wall.
Okay.
No privacy.
Yeah.
Looks over the family room.
Right.
So it's just a little messy and dusty in our house.
And it'll be like that for how much longer?
I think just a couple more weeks.
Oh, that's
They're
not
right
bad.
On target.
That's not bad at all.
Although I'm just looking because Bobby Lee is in studio and the bathroom, obviously, in our bedroom didn't take a shower today. And
He will be offended.
I think he
I'm
will
promising.
Be.
Now, normally when Bobby Lee is on, and we've had him on three times in the past, Bobby says something
I know.
With each visit that makes people a little jittery. But I think today you kind of took that curse off of Bobby Lee.
It wasn't that bad. Now, come on.
I didn't
on.
Say it was bad. It's not bad.
I don't think anything can take the curse off of him, quite honestly.
But we always know when he comes in that at some point during the half hour, he will say something that all of us will look at each other and go, oh no, there's going to be a meeting.
I will be ready with my finger on the dump button.
Be ready.
Does loose cannon apply?
I think that you could qualify Bobby as that. He's a loose cannon. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out next.
Yeah.
Take a quick break and then some news with Steve Bertrand. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
Well, you know Bobby Lee from his work on Mad TV.
That show got canceled a long time
ago. Got canceled
ago.
A while ago.
I'm 86 years old now.
Looking good, though.
I was in the original Karate Kid movies.
That was not you,
Happy
Bobby.
Days. Remember Happy
that
Days?
That was Pat Morita.
That was me. No, I did. I ran Big Al's.
I think that was
no.
Pat Morita.
Okay, thank you.
I'm pretty sure it was. Bobby Lee is appearing at the Improv.
I
in
used to be
Schaumburg.
A Hawaiian lounge singer. I used to sing Tiny Bubbles.
That was Don Ho.
In Hawaii.
That was Don Ho. Yeah, that was not
it
you.
It wasn't me.
Now, you look like you've just recently
thank
woke
you.
Up.
Thank you.
Did you just
what?
Wake
no.
up in the last few minutes?
No, I'm ethnic in that way.
Okay.
I know. In my ethnicity always looks like I just woke up, and that's racist.
No.
And that's not. You're living in Trump's America.
You do not look tired.
Thank you.
But your hair is fantastic.
Great, is it not?
How about it?
You know why?
Why?
Because I always get recognized for that girl from Grey's Anatomy, so I go, I just grow out my hair.
That was Sandra.
So they go, hey,
oh.
Sandra, I go, hi.
No, not
I go,
Sandra O. Oh.
I'm not?
No, no.
Tiny bubble.
You're not Don Ho, you're not though? Sandra O. Oh.
You remember that?
Remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's good to see you guys so much.
You know,
you
we
too.
Had to warn the audience, why? Bobby, because in past visits, yeah. you have said some things that have made people a little bit uneasy. You know that,
no,
right?
No, they have?
Yeah.
Why are you just challenging him?
You're challenging me.
I just had to warn the
did
audience.
Did they tweet stuff and stuff? Like, he's challenging me?
No. People have texted in saying...
I hate him?
Nobody
no.
ever said they hated you. Nobody ever said they hated you.
Oh.
Maybe it's Sandra Oh that they don't like.
Maybe that's what it is. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. And I don't like your energy right now. You've changed since the election. I'll be honest with you.
We all
it
have.
It really influenced you in a really weird way.
Because I'm living on fear.
No, you're not.
I am.
Who'd you vote for? You can't talk about it? You probably can't talk about it.
I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, me too.
And me too.
Me too.
And she won.
We're three losers yeah, sitting here right
she
now.
Got 3 million votes, really?
She got the most.
3 million votes.
I know.
Okay, let's just move on.
Is this your press conference now?
Yeah. I'm about to become unhinged.
You have good news that you just shared with
what
me.
What was it? What was it?
That your show, Love, has been picked up for a second
well,
season.
Well, I'm only reoccurring on it, so, I, you know, man. But, you know, the reason why I talk about it a lot is because I already finished the second season, and then now in the third season, and it's Judd Apatow, and it's Netflix. So I just kind of feel like it makes me feel credible. But really, I'm a loser.
Don't say that.
No,
oh,
I'm
man.
A handsome.
Bobby, it's not
am I
true.
Handsome?
Yeah, totally.
You're very handsome.
Yeah?
Very
for my
handsome.
Ethnicity, I'm handsome?
Has nothing
I forgot
to do with
how
it.
Needy you were. I really did.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not needy. I'm confident. You want me? You know what? You know what? You want confident, Bobby?
Yeah.
I'm confident, killing Bobby. The game.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Chow Yun Fat.
You look terrific. No.
Thank you.
Despite that, you look
yeah,
terrific.
Yeah, you know who Chow Yun Fat is?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
Hidden Dragons, Crouching Tigers.
Right. And that's it. And I'm well endowed.
Really?
No. I'm not.
That was the confident Bobby Lee,
it's
though.
Really
I like
sad,
it.
My situation.
Right. But, the show on Showtime.
I don't have a Showtime show, so that's weird.
You just said you got picked up for another season.
No, Netflix.
Oh,
Netflix. Love.
You don't even listen. That's your thing.
He's changed.
I know you've changed since Trump, man. Election. You don't even listen. Just like him. You just do your own thing. You accuse people of things, you know? Anyway.
All right, where are you appearing?
Why? Am I out now?
No,
am I
leaving want to now? Come and see you.
Oh, I'm at the they Schomburg.
They love you. They loved you I'm as Mr. Sulu on Star Trek.
You're killing yourself, aren't you?
Yeah. I wish people could see that face.
I know.
I wish so badly people could see that face.
I'm at the Schomburg Improv, I meant.
What?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. But I'm there.
Tonight through Sunday, Schomburg
yeah.
Improv.
Yeah. I feel like you want me out of the room right now.
No, I just
want
thanks to get a
thanks for
plug.
Coming by.
No, you're welcome
you
to stay.
You plug at the end.
No,
well,
we
do it more than once.
Oh,
in the
bad.
Middle,
bad,
at the
my
beginning.
Bad, my bad.
We, it's, you know,
where's Kevin?
Kevin's on vacation. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He timed it. He said, when is Bobby Lee coming?
I know.
And
he,
then he booked
know,
the vacation.
But I also booked something else.
What do you have going?
Well,
you're a rock star now?
No, yeah. I did a Comedy Central show called... the Comedy Jam, and what it is three comics a show.
Yeah,
they tell a story and then they sing a song, right?
They do,
like with a full band.
It's
like
a new
rock
show.
And roll.
It airs in March.
All right,
you'll see the advertisements.
Okay, so you're
and
on.
So I get they called me and they go, do you want to do it? I go yes. So when I first show up to rehearsals, they immediately gave me a singing coach. I'm terrible.
Well, you're, no, but they're just trying
I'm like
to
help. Yoko Ono.
Oh boy,
that's not good.
Maybe they thought I was Yoko. No, but they didn't
you're
think
not
I was Yoko.
Yoko.
No. I'm way better.
Oh no.
For the record, Bobby has referred to himself as five different Asian people, but when I said Mr. Sulu, he was ready
I was
to
offended.
Punch me.
I know.
I'm not
he
gay.
Was ready
okay.
to I didn't
you
say
you accuse me of being no kidding. No. I love him.
Right.
So it's so then I get a singing coach and then every day they gave me a note. The Comedy Central, they're like the elite, like the top.
Right.
Don't show your penis.
Well, why would they
why
even
would
need
they
to
have to warn
they,
you?
They have to because every show I do.
Every
but they,
show...
they go, legally, Bobby, you can't do it. I have lawyers every day.
Yeah.
Notes from like the top.
Right.
Right? Every day. And then Saturday night, it's showtime.
Do they say don't or we'd prefer that you
no,
did it?
No, if
it's
you
just
do,
flat out
it'll
don't.
Be a disaster.
Oh, okay.
Don't. We might not be able to air it.
Yeah.
It will. You'll anger us.
Yep.
And I'm like, dude, I'm 45. I'm not going to show my thing.
Right.
That's
so what'd
ridiculous.
You do? What'd you do?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I did. I show up to the show.
Yeah.
And so Tiffany Haddish, she's on that Gerard Carmichael show. She did Tina Turner, and she got a standing ovation.
She rocked it?
Rocked the house.
Oh, oh my God.
Right. And now, then it's Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
And
I love him. Yeah, I do too. He does it with Richie Sambora.
Oh, wow.
And they do a Bon Jovi song.
Oh, Living on a Prayer?
Yeah.
Tough to
standing
beat.
Ovation.
Sure.
And now then it's my turn. What do you do?
While I'm watching Chris, in my head, I'm like, I'm going to show my penis.
See, you can't challenge
yeah,
him.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
To. Yeah. He said specifically
I know, but I, now I don't have Richie Sambora. I can't sing.
Right.
I got nothing. Right?
Right.
So I go, I'm going to do it out of survival. Right?
Right.
So but you know what? In my head, I'm smart because I'm Asian. No? Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it.
So I go, I'm going to do it at the very end. Maybe they can just cut it out.
Oh.
So I'm singing now. Right.
What song are you doing?
I'm doing a Rod Stewart song. Do you think I'm sexy? If you write that song,
then it's perfect to show a little something.
Yeah. All right. So I go right. So I'm going to do it at the end.
Yeah.
So as the song ends, right?
Yeah.
I pull my pants down.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But the song didn't end.
Oh.
That's embarrassing.
It kept going for 3 more minutes.
Okay, you pulled it out too early.
It's all in the timing, Bobby.
I timed it wrong. So now I'm dancing on stage, and every second goes by. I'm going, I'm getting, this is it. My career's over.
Yeah.
So I get off stage, and they all texted me, like all the executives and stuff, and they said, killed it.
Oh, they
and
did.
They kept it in.
You won them over.
Not only that, is that they submitted my episode for an Emmy.
They did not.
They did.
Really?
Yeah, for like variety show.
Did they have to blur it?
They
or
blurred
put
it,
a
yeah,
black
yeah. And they sent me,
oh,
my phone's in there, but they sent me what it looks like on screen.
Yeah.
And they blurred the whole thing out. Well, it's small.
Did
so.
You ask them
it was
to
easy
use?
To do.
Very easy.
You should have said use a bigger blur.
They didn't use ILM. You know, it was like some kid, and they just 2 seconds, and that's it.
You could probably pay them and say, here's a couple extra $100. Make the blur much bigger. It'd be better for me.
No. Because I've admitted throughout my whole life that I have the smallest one in the world.
Oh,
in the world?
I've showed it to Chris D'Elia. He's a stand-up.
Yeah.
Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
I've shown it to all kinds of people.
Show it to Bill.
I will right now.
No, I'm all right.
All right, well, I won't.
I'm okay. Thank you, though. Don't even think about it. I saw you look over toward
Ella. I know.
Don't even think about it.
But then there's people here.
She's filling in.
Yeah, my
but
point
why don't you
is
show
this.
To them?
No,
you can't do this. It's illegal.
Oh.
I do it privately. It's okay. Not like I don't do it on stage.
Do you have a booth set up at state fairs?
I go, come here, Chris, check it out. And then they laugh, and I laugh, and then we move on with our lives. But you know what? I've always killed it with chicks.
I can imagine.
Because you admit it up front.
Right.
There's no pressure.
Right.
And no surprise.
There's no surprise. And then they're like,
he's so genuine.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, it's like I'm in a lesbian relationship.
Bobby Lee is here. He's at the Improv this week. If you're going to date him, buy a magnifying glass.
Trust me. I don't care. I let the world know.
Yep.
It makes me cry. I laugh so hard.
You're making
I love
Wendy
so
cry. Stick around. More well, Bobby
let me show
Lee.
You.
I don't want to see you. It's WGN. Bobby Lee is appearing at the Improv in Schaumburg tonight through Sunday. Some tickets still available.
Go see Bobby Lee. I don't worry about numbers.
When people come to see you, Bobby, what can they expect? What kind of a show will they
get? I just do stand up and I just dance and I do all kinds of stuff. I've been there so much. I've played it for like 8 years in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, religiously. Because I love the room. I love the people and it's a good time.
Good.
And because of my podcast, my numbers have been better and it's been funner. Better.
What goes on the podcast?
Funner. I love it.
It's what?
Funner.
Is that a word?
No.
It's okay. It's a cute word.
But you got what it meant, you know?
I got it. Right. What's the name of your podcast?
It's called Tiger Belly.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And I do it with my girlfriend.
That's right.
Yeah. It's fun.
It's fun.
Is she in show business?
She's not, but we fight a lot
on
the air and stuff.
You know, Wendy had a similar situation. She and her husband did a podcast.
We did really?
Snide Remarks Radio, and I will tell you, we haven't done it since I've been back with Bill.
Uh-huh.
But I was nicer to him during that podcast because when you're fighting and people are listening in, aren't you a little more respectful?
Not us.
Okay.
No, should we really go for the jugular?
Really?
Yeah, because we know that it's entertainment. People want to hear it.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like a couple of times, she's cried.
Oh, no.
You've made her cry?
Yeah.
What made her cry? What'd you say?
I don't know, like some personal thing.
Yeah, and that did it.
We've done 90 of them, so yeah. Oh. But and then we've had to like not air it.
Too personal.
Like one time, I remember one time we literally she had to walk out of the room and apologize. I'm sorry.
Is it that hard to apologize?
That seemed genuine.
It's never the guy's fault. Ever.
I don't know
it's
that.
It's always the guy's fault.
It is.
It is,
but
always.
It isn't.
Oh, you got to admit.
No, I know. I do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm saying I'm sorry about, but I say I'm sorry because I know it's my fault. I don't know what I did.
Are you going to get married to her?
Yeah.
Are you?
I guess.
I hope so.
4 years, I don't think it's long enough, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, 4 years is
why?
Time. It's time to get married.
Although, why, you know, why do you
it's
have to get married?
2017. Is it not?
You seem not sure of that.
I don't know what year it is.
You seem very tentative on the year.
2017.
It is 2017.
Although, look, Goldie Hawn and
Kurt Russell.
They never got married. And,
they didn't.
And who? I mean,
but she didn't have Bobby Lee. If I had Bobby Lee, I'd get married.
Why?
Because you don't want to lose him.
You don't want to lose
you. I want to catch you. You're a great catch.
Oh.
If you love Bobby Lee, you got to put a ring on him.
Yeah, I'm not a good catch, by the way. You know what I am? You know what? You're right. I am. You know. I'm generous. I feel like I'm generous.
Yeah, you seem.
There's
to be
a lot
generous.
Of things I'm not, but I don't. I have intimacy issues.
Yeah,
like you feel like lock eyes with me,
yeah.
And she says, "I love you."
Yeah,
I have to turn away and say, "I love you too."
Why do you think that is?
Because I don't want to look at her soul. I feel like if our souls look at each other, then maybe I do love her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no. But there was more coming to that.
That's not a good way of going. I do love her.
Yeah. All right, look at me right now.
Yes.
All right, let's see. You're my girlfriend.
Okay.
Say I love you.
I love you.
I love you too.
Oh, you looked away.
I know,
you
but that still feels
away.
Good.
It's not.
Do you
no.
still feel good?
No.
It's not
no. The same.
Oh.
How long were your parents married?
They're still together.
They're still together.
Yeah. So they're Korean. They're not gonna. My parents are like mythological creatures. My mom looks like Yoda, and my dad looks like Gollum. There's no one else. When I was a kid, I looked at them. I go, my brother and I are screwed because that's what we're going to look like. When you have your parents are 4'8", right? Listen, can I just say that right now? I know that God intended me to go out with a girl named Ting Ting who's 4'4". Here's Ting Ting. Hello, how are you? And you know she cooks soup, right? But I
good
defied
soup.
God.
Ting
I said
ting.
I'm going to go into show business and I'm going to get nines, not threes.
Nines.
Because I defied it.
Well, congratulations.
You're welcome.
I know she's just a character in a joke, but I want to
like
Ting Ting. So
I really
badly,
don't
Bobby.
Like the way you wave all your fingers at me like that. Just when be a pink
just
finger.
Just
yeah, that one.
I just want to meet Ting Ting.
Yeah, right, we meet Ting Ting. Okay.
How come you can look Bill in the eye when you're kind of well, mad at
tell
him?
Me you yeah, love me.
I love
look
you.
Yeah, you looked away. You didn't back away. Bobby did not back away a little bit when he said it. To
you
me.
Know why? Because it's a joke.
Oh, so when true him, meaning
you broke
true
my heart.
Meaning, I just my I,
it makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, like when you're cuddling and stuff, it's weird.
Yeah,
cuddling is weird.
Is it not?
Not with somebody.
What are we
love?
Lions? What are we laying around?
You look like
I got stuff to do. Right?
What do you have to do?
There are better things to do than just laying there with another human being.
You don't find that comforting a little bit?
In what way?
Yeah,
your back hurts. You know what I mean? And then you don't know what to talk about. Your hair is nice. What? It's a waste of time. If you're watching a movie,
yeah.
Oh, we're watching Doctor Strange. I'll put my hand on her like leg.
Yeah.
Oh, that's touching.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But still, that's still good.
I love you.
I love you too.
Oh, he looked away.
I can't look at you.
God.
You looked at me and
I
said
know,
it
I know.
Without breaking.
Well, you know, I mean,
he really loves you. That's why.
I guess so.
Well, I know.
That's fine.
In high school, I had some sexual things with guys.
You did? Yeah.
I don't know. I just said that.
No. Too late.
Yeah, I did say it a couple times.
What's wrong with that? That's all right.
I know, but I feel, as an older man, I'm admitting to it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, like, get myself to say it more on podcasts and radio and stuff.
Yeah.
But when I say it, I don't want to see here. I want to be more open.
The world is very accepting now.
Thank you.
Very accepting.
It totally is.
Yeah, thank you.
Can I tell you, over the weekend, I was watching Wheel of Fortune, and one of the contestants, a woman, said, Pat Sajak asked some question about the family, and she said, oh, I met a woman a couple of years ago in Hawaii, and we fell in love, and now we have a family. And I thought there was a time where everybody in the audience would have went, oh, what? What
yeah,
did she just say?
You're right.
But it doesn't happen anymore. And
it
that's
doesn't.
A good thing.
It is a great thing. Yeah. It is a great thing.
It is.
But, you know, since the election, it doesn't feel like we went backwards a little.
We did go backwards a little bit.
You're like, you know, I don't know if this is true, but if Pence is into, like, electrocuting...
Right, to
not
conversion therapy.
But conversion therapy. Conversion.
Well, it kind of involves that.
There's no electricity?
I think there is.
There's a limited amount. Like
yeah, but there's, if there's,
electroshock
a little bit of there's like a little bit of a prick of electricity, it's still bad.
Yeah.
It's electroshock therapy.
Yeah, you can't change anybody.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, you look the way you do, your face.
Always a pleasure to have
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that mean?
You look like you have progeria. No. You guys know what progeria is?
Yes, when you look
the
older than you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm kidding.
He looks very young.
You look very handsome. I love you.
He did not look away.
That time again, you did not look away.
You know what you actually you do? You look like a better looking William H. Macy.
Thank you, question mark.
You called me all kinds of stuff earlier, by the way.
What did I call you?
Let's you called me. What'd you call me? That guy from Bonanza?
No, that was a texter wanted to know if you were Hap Singh from Bonanza.
That hurt.
But I didn't do Mrs. Livingston from Eddie's Foster. I showed perfect restraint.
I know you did it. I know you did it.
Oh, my God.
That's why Bobby loves me.
I love you guys.
He knows when to show
restraint. Honestly, I was telling Tony, I this is the only one I want to do.
Is that right?
Yeah, because the other ones are like...
You did all everybody's shows this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't enjoy those. You saved
No, because when this one, it's like you guys ask me questions and I can answer them and I feel like I can say things.
Yeah, you
know?
You can. That's
and not that I have no disrespect. I like all of them.
Yeah.
But who's they the don't worst? Let you talk?
Well, you can't say that when I was in high school on morning news, that right. hooked up with a couple of friends.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah, you can't say that.
Whose show did you do today that you say to yourself, I really shouldn't do that show anymore?
It's I can't say that out loud.
That's a smart move.
That's a very smart move. Right. I like them all, but they're just a little weird in different ways.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think they appreciate you.
They do.
Do you think so?
But with Mancow, like, can I say his name?
Yeah, what's that like? Was that fun? Did you have a good time with him?
No.
Everything go okay?
No, but I've known him for so long, and he texts me, you know? I like him.
Yeah.
But he makes me crazy, so then I'll do crazy things, and then I regret what I do and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well,
he brings out the best in people, doesn't he?
Yeah. No, I like him, you know? But, you know, you guys are like, I could do this forever with you guys.
Oh, that's so nice. That's the ultimate compliment. Thank you, Bobby.
I love you.
Oh, no look away.
Oh, my God. That was like, you have not broken your gate. You did. You just did for a second.
I'm closing my eyes.
At the end. Bobby, always good to see you.
Bye.
We're proud of you. It's Bobby Lee.
Bye.
He's at the Improv. I know you already established that.
Yeah.
He's at the Improv all this week. Go see him. He's always funny. It's Bobby Lee. Stick around. News is next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. I got an AP alert this morning that said President Trump was planning to move in 100,000 National Guard units to help get rid of basically undocumented immigrants. Then I heard the White House was denying that. So I know there's a lot of fake news out there. I turned to Steve Bertrand for real news.
Yeah, I just hate that term fake news.
I know.
I mean, fake news was about some guys in Macedonia making up stories that were made out of whole cloth and completely untrue. And the term is now
used for everything.
It's being bastardized into anything that someone doesn't like.
Right.
And really, I'm not upset with you. I just don't like that one.
Right.
Well, that's why I'm asking you, because I got this alert from AP, 100,000.
Right. So you know, we're in a weird time where it's very difficult to know what to believe from anyone right now. But the AP has said that there is this plan was being floated where 100,000 National Guard troops would be used to round up unauthorized immigrants, including millions living nowhere near the Mexican border. So the Guard would be called in to work within the United States borders, which would be an incredible militarization of the Guard to do this. And they referred to a couple of states. They said as far away as Portland, Oregon, and east in Louisiana in New Orleans. So they've clearly seen the details of it. I don't see Illinois listed on the states that were involved. Now, the Associated Press says that this memo was written by the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary, John Kelly, very high up. When they reported that this morning, and it was just about, I would say, probably 9:15 or 9:20, the White House was very quick to come out and say it was untrue, that it was false, and that it may have. And then Sean Spicer said, well, or was asked, is there anything like this floating around in the government? And he says, well, I don't know, you know, what someone might have written, but this isn't something that's reached the level of policy. That would be contradictory information if it's indeed the Homeland Security Secretary who's writing this. I mean, you know, look, the administration can't be responsible for everyone in the bureaucracy coming up with the plan.
Because
the plan plan could float up and be shot down pretty quickly. But if it's written by the Homeland Security Secretary, there's some value there. Now, so the White House is coming out and right away saying that it's not true, that it's false. The Associated Press is sticking by the fact that this memo was written. As I said at the beginning, it's difficult to know when people are lying to you now.
And that's what I don't understand, because then you think, you know, Donald Trump has said in the past, you know, if we're going to invade Mosul, we're not going to tell people that we're going there. So it's just, I don't know if this was prematurely leaked. Who leaked it?
Well, I mean, it's an unimaginable sort of course that you would use the National Guard to do this against your own people, I think. There are some questions about whether or not it would even be legal. So, you know, best case scenario is it was quite a ways from being implemented or maybe even moved up to serious consideration. It could, you know, a lot of ideas, you know, the government relies on ideas and you have to come up with them. Some of them are shot down. Some of them are followed up on.
Right.
You know, it doesn't.
But, Steve, with what happened with the travel ban a couple of weeks ago, where it just kind of came out of nowhere and it was implemented so quickly, does that give more credence to a theory like this, that after seeing that happen once, there's no reason to believe it couldn't happen again?
Well, they have certainly behaved in an unconventional way in the Trump administration. So,
and a second part to the question is this. Should this kind of thing take place, the way it seemed to be pulled out, it would be a state-by-state operation.
It would rely on the governors of each state to approve it, because the governors have control over the National Guard. So that's another part of it that would make it, I think, highly unlikely that anything like this would happen. But, you know, I'll just say it. Look, Sean Spicer has lied about other things, clearly. So for him to come out right away and say that this is absolutely untrue, I don't put as much credence in that as I would have in past administration. Perhaps there'll be more reporting on this. I don't know. I want to use the right word, because I want to say outlandish in that it's highly unlikely. Whether or not it's a good idea or a bad idea, it's so far out there that it seems unlikely that it would be policy, but there certainly will be more reporting on it, I'm sure.
Do you remember during the campaign, this is long before Donald Trump was elected as president, when he threw this idea out, people started to look at the logistics of what it would take to make something like this work, and it almost always came up as impossible. Under every scenario, whenever anybody discussed this, they said, well, it just would be impossible for it to happen. It's not impossible. It's improbable, right?
I think it's pretty impossible to physically take millions of people living in this country and deport
them out.
The manpower, the money, and all of that would need, the havoc it would wreak on communities, I think it's nearly impossible.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, you're right, Bill. This is, in a way, this is a description of what could be called a deportation force.
Yeah.
And this is what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
Well, he did, and then he said he wasn't going to do that. So.
And was it just yesterday that he mentioned that children of undocumented immigrants would not be sent back? But now this comes out, and yesterday was that Day Without Immigrants Day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, he has said that several times, that they're coming up with a plan that people would be happy with, he said, when it comes to these DACA children, but they haven't come out with it yet. So, that's one of the things we're still waiting to see.
I'm not sure that anyone would be, well, I guess some people would be happy with it, but it's hard to imagine a scenario where most of the American public are happy with this. It just doesn't seem right. But
you know,
we live in an age of miracles where things just kind of happen.
Isn't there some way to eventually document these undocumented immigrants without sending them back? How do you do that?
That's the central question. And they're moved toward allowing them to stay in the country after clearing through many hoops and never becoming citizens.
But being
that's
here
more
legally
palatable to Republicans. There are other movements that want to allow them a path to citizenship. And then you get the term amnesty coming in and all of that. So there is movement towards some sort of grand bargain in the House from time to time that doesn't involve deportation of millions. We'll see.
Of millions. That's a big number. Steve, the other day, Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, said, hey, if you're having trouble getting into the United States or remaining in the United States, our doors are open. Come on by. Canada welcomes you. What's Trump's reaction to something like that?
I didn't see Trump's reaction to it. I mean, I would imagine he would be fine with it if
Yeah.
The refugees that we don't, that he doesn't want us to take.
Would head north.
Would go somewhere else. Now, right.
Somebody else's responsibility.
The border's pretty open. You know, if we're worried about people getting in and out, it's pretty, I think, probably easier to get in from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Trudeau's responsibility to make Canada great again. So he wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
Although we're kind of in this together in North America, like defense-wise and stuff. I'm surprised Trump wouldn't have a problem with that.
It's too close. Yesterday, as we mentioned yesterday, we were on break during the press conference, so I really didn't get to see much of the highlights until after the show. But I think the part that was the most jarring to me was when, and Steve, I think you brought this up yesterday to some extent, when Donald Trump was talking again about his victory and how many more electoral votes he got, and he said it was the most since...
Since he said it was, and now don't call me on this because I don't remember exactly, but he said it was the biggest margin since Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And then a reporter, I think Peter King, a reporter from NBC, said, well, it's not actually... I think it was Jimmy or Bill Clinton, blah, blah, blah.
He listed all the presidents.
The president then said, well, I meant the biggest Republican. And King or the reporter said, well, no, George W. Bush or Herbert Walker Bush's margin was bigger than yours. And then he said, well, I was just told that.
He was given that information. He kept stressing the fact this is just information that I've been given. But I've seen it. You know, he threw that out there. So it's very disconcerting to hear a guy yelling at the press saying you keep giving out false information when he just keeps giving out false information and then blaming the press somehow or people who gave him.
Well,
false
look,
information.
You know, we're in very unusual times. I mean, I've heard people say that this whole 100,000 National Guard troops could be a fabrication to make the press look bad.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Somehow it's leaked out and then they shoot it down and say, look, it's more of, you know, untrue reporting.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't understand what's happening because, you know, everybody talked about Hillary being a liar, but Kellyanne Conway has given some misinformation, I shall just say. So has Sean Spicer, and so has Donald Trump. So are we worried to protect our country from terrorists or to protect our country from bad news stories? I mean, what are the priorities here? Which is what makes me crazy.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing some of this. When I heard about this, it's like, in a way, it didn't surprise me because this is what Donald Trump ran on and was telling people, you know, we can't let terrorists in. We have to clean up what we have. We're making America great again. So in a way, when I got this AP alert, I wasn't really that surprised. But now they're denying it. And it comes a point where I know politicians lie and everyone said that, but I really don't know where to get my information anymore.
The AP is, I mean, they have the memo and they've done some extensive writing on it. The memo describes the program, quote unquote, as a highly successful force multiplier that has identified 402,000, quote unquote, removable aliens. So it's not just something they're floating. They've apparently identified a population of a little over 400,000 aliens that they think they could move in with this National Guard force.
So they've been doing some research for quite some time on this,
sure.
It appears.
Yeah.
We have phone calls, but we have to take a break.
All right. Yeah, if you want to chime in, we're at 312.
I'm just sighing every day now. Do you realize that?
I hear it.
I'm so sorry.
312-981-7200 is our number. If you have a call, if you want to call or text us, that's your best bet. Again, 312-981-7200. We'll get those calls and texts next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Members FDIC. Are you in the FDIC? I just got accepted.
I don't think I am.
We're talking about the government. It's been a little crazy lately.
Well, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer has denied a report by AP Associated Press that President Donald Trump was considering using the National Guard to round up undocumented immigrants. Sean Spicer says that is 100% not true. It is false. And he called this report irresponsible.
Can I ask you a question? I don't have the same service on my cell phone as you do with the, it's an AP alert that you received?
Yes.
In the past, when you've received these, what's the validity rate? How often do they come true and how often are they just false?
They're very rarely false. I don't think it's ever been false.
Right.
And they are reporting this. And then we had Steve Bertrand point out that it was sort of like a proposal. It wasn't going to be enacted at this point. Steve was mentioning it was an idea. It came from the Homeland Security, so kind of a top official to bring 100,000 National Guard troops here. It would be on a state-by-state basis. Illinois, I don't believe, was included in that. If it was, that would be up to Governor Rauner to decide whether or not he would participate. But then that confuses me as well, because if this is an order by the president and yet state by state you don't have to agree with
that's peculiar.
It's all confusing to me. Mm-hmm. It used to be I didn't care about politics and I would ignore it and hope everything was good.
But now
it's different. Yeah. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Happy Friday. Yes?
Thank you. Yes.
Hopefully.
All right. Well, you know, I'm listening to this as it unfolds. And I like to read articles, and I subscribe to papers. I read online, too. I am an older person, so I have a lot of time to read. But there was an article back February 5th, a Sunday, and this goes back 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. And it's in the Chicago Tribune, okay, your paper. Mm-hmm. It's in the Nation and World section. And it says, right across the top, the headline, up to 8 million could be deported. And it goes on to describe exactly what you're describing, but that was 2 weeks ago. So
not
you're
bringing
right
in the National Guard, though.
Well, this doesn't, but it does cite the National Guard. I mean, they have to give some support, I suppose, to Border Patrol so that they can enact more of what needs to be. The article does. I highlight a lot of things so I can, you know, think about them later. They talk about those that have crossed illegally. People could be booked into custody for using food stamps or if their child receives the free lunches. You know, this country is the home of the free. And I will say the four-letter word again, free. And if you can waddle yourself across the border, guess what? Now you're entitled to whatever benefits you can avail yourself of. It goes on to say that people that have could also be deported are those that have entered on a valid visa. All right, and they've stayed past the
expiration. They've overstayed their visa.
Well, I mean, I looked into that. I asked Siri, I said, what's the difference between immigrant, what's the difference between undocumented, and what's the difference between illegal? Now, you know, an immigrant is usually someone that comes, yes, but we can't blanket that for every group, particularly those coming from Mexico. They fall into the little bucket of not even undocumented, although, yes, they are undocumented, but they are here illegally. Now, I don't know about you, but when I cross over and travel, and I do travel a lot, I have to have a passport that says who I am
sure.
and where I'm from.
Right.
And if I go into certain countries, I have to have a visa.
Right. Karen, now, we have to hit some news here, but we understand your thoughts on this.
Right. And please check February 5th, Sunday. That's
in the Tribune.
2 weeks ago.
Right.
In the Tribune, in Nation and World, which is the second section after the, you know, the main section that, you know, has all the headlines. Thank you for your time. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Karen.
You too.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You. And we're supposed to be calling him President Trump.
Although he himself constantly
he
just refers to himself as Trump. It's always that third person, one word, Trump.
He That's wants it to be like, you know, on a personal buddy-buddy basis.
Good luck with that. I'm sure that'll happen. I'm positive. All right, let's take a quick break. We've got news coming your way next, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, joined on the phone right now by TV Guide Digital Editor-in-Chief Mickey O'Connor to talk about what's going on the TV. Hi, Mickey. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Mickey, just yesterday, Wendy found a story about the upcoming season of American Horror Story, and we were going to talk about it on the air, but we thought that it was fake. But it's not fake, is it?
It's absolutely not fake. Ryan Murphy appeared on Watch What Happens Live on Wednesday night, and Andy Cohen kind of surprised him, and I asked him what the next season of American Horror Story was going to be about, and surprisingly for Ryan Murphy, he answered. And he said that it was going to be about the 2016 election, presidential election, if you can believe it.
I can't wait to see it. I've lived through it.
Yeah, I mean, further than that, he actually asked him if there was going to be a, quote, Trump character on the show. And Ryan Murphy kind of gave a little smile and said, maybe. So it could be really interesting. If you look at all the amazing actors who love working with Ryan Murphy now, you know, you never know who he's going to get. There's John Travolta, there's Jessica Lange, there's Cuba Gooding Jr., Angela Bassett. All those people could be in the mix.
I wonder if Sarah Paulson will play Hillary Rodham Clinton.
That's true. Or Jessica Lange could play that role, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Either of them. Now, for people who haven't seen the show, what normally happens on American Horror Story is he always focuses on one of the scarier aspects of life. Sometimes it's an insane asylum. Sometimes it's a circus. But the election is an interesting way to go, isn't it?
It's all of the above.
Right.
And the freak show.
And I think when you think about it, like, you know, the first season of the show, for example, was kind of about marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, the second season of the show was about, you know, mental health. And, you know, I think that this last season was kind of about fame and about social media and about sort of Hollywood and about, you know, representation on, you know, in film. And so I think that moving on to the election is kind of an interesting segue from there.
All right. And we have no idea a premiere date on that because they haven't filmed any of them yet. It's just it's probably a year or so away, correct?
Yeah. I mean, usually it launches at the end of the year. So, you know, October, November. You know, they're usually short seasons, so they usually wrap up in January. That's the time of year that it usually runs.
All right. Very good.
Have you been sucked into This Is Us? Like, I am living for that show on NBC Tuesdays at 8.
Yes, I am kind of sucked into it, although I have to say I'm not that sucked into it because I'm a few episodes behind at this point. So, but yeah, I mean, certainly it's something that our audience is loving and we're talking about constantly. One of our writers just went to the set the other day and saw this week's episode, and she said that the press team literally handed out Kleenex to everybody before the screening.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was wondering.
She used it.
She did use it. I cry. Yeah. I laugh. I want to be a better wife and a better mother every week when I watch that. And I didn't realize until the last episode that Ken Olin is involved in it from 30-something. And I absolutely loved that show as well.
Hmm. Yeah. And he's actually a pretty well-known TV director. He's done quite a bit with like Grey's Anatomy, West Wing. Yeah, he's around a lot.
Used to be on Hill Street Blues. That's the first time
was
I saw him.
Really?
Yeah, for a year or two.
Yeah, way back in the day, yeah.
Yep. There will be a sequel very soon to The Good Wife. What is the sequel going to be?
So it's called The Good Fight, and it focuses on two characters from the original show. One is Diane Lockhart, who was played by the great Christine Baranski.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is Luca Quinn, who was played by Cush Jumbo in the final season of the show. And, you know, without giving too much away, I will say that, you know, it's about Diane's next step in her life. And she leaves a firm that she founded. And she thinks she's going to retire. But something comes along and she's unable to retire because she does not have any money anymore. So she has to go back to work. And so it's kind of about her going back to work. For one of the most prominent African American firms in Chicago. It's really interesting. I've seen the first two episodes. It, you know, maintains all the sort of the combination of melodrama and sort of light humor that the original show had. And the actors are really great. They've assembled a really interesting cast, including you know, some familiar faces who will pop in here and there, and from the original show. And yeah, I think it's going to be really fun. It premieres on Sunday on CBS at 8/7 Central, and after that, it will only be on CBS All Access, which is CBS's new online streaming service. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Can I ask, Mickey, do the production values of a show suffer a little bit when it's only on All Access? I know they're going to do this with the new Star Trek show, too. It'll only be on All Access. Do they spend a little less on those, or is that not the case?
No, I would say you know, I don't know. I think that creatively speaking, I think that the quality is probably pretty much the same. And I think that creatively speaking, I think there's just a lot more freedom for a show when it's, you know, not on broadcast television. And I think that you'll see that with this show. There's a few naughty words in The Good Fight, which of course they could never do on The Good Wife.
Yeah.
There's actually some nude scenes.
Wendy just set her DVR as we were talking.
I have never watched The Good Wife. I got to tell you, I have never watched it. Is it you love it?
It's a fun sort of legal procedural, but I think that, you know, it was much more serialized than most legal procedurals. You became very invested in Alicia Florrick's story. That's Juliana Margulies' character. You know, because the premise of the show is really about this woman scorned and how she would, you know, sort of get her revenge. And, you know, this show is a little bit like that as well, because Diane is sort of, you know, a woman scorned in this first episode. And how is she going to, you know, get her revenge?
I always worry for the original series, Mickey, when they take a major character away. I'm going through the same thing a little bit with Blacklist. I know there's a sequel with Tom's character, Lizzie's husband, Tom. I always worry if that doesn't hurt the original a little bit.
Well, I think that, you know, I think that usually it depends. I think some spinoffs are really successful. And I think that, you know, it depends on who you're removing from the cast. I agree with you that sometimes you're like, oh, I wish that person would just stay on, you know, that show.
Yeah.
Kate Walsh is a good example. When she left Grey's Anatomy and she went to Private Practice, I thought Private Practice was an okay show, but I really loved her on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that one.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick break. We're talking television with Mickey O'Connor, TV Guide's digital editor-in-chief. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 is the way to do it. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We're talking television.
Yeah, we are. Mickey O'Connor has joined us. Mickey is the TV Guide digital editor-in-chief, and there's a lot you should know that's going on in the world of TV, and he's here to share it with you. We have some calls at 312-981-7200.
Lori would like to jump into the television talk. Hi, Lori. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Mickey O'Connor's on the line.
Yeah, I was wondering. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
I was wondering about the Chicago Fire, the big crossover event that's supposed to happen on March 1st.
What do you know about it, Mick?
Well, I will tell you that one of our editors just got back from Chicago, where she did a series of interviews about the four-way crossover. She met the new cast of Chicago Justice and did quite a few interviews with with all the casts, really, from Taylor Kinney from Chicago Fire. I'm being really careful with my words because I don't want to spoil anything.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I think that, you know, she was on set for a big sort of event that happened that necessitated that crossover. And I think that you're going to find it to be really interesting because of the people who are involved. Is that vague enough?
That was vague, but effective. So it's coming soon, Lori.
Oh, yeah. Good. I can't wait.
Well, thanks for your
call. Thank you so much.
Mickey, I know that every once in a while you will see that. You will have characters from one show visit characters from another show. Every once in a while it goes three deep, but I don't remember them ever doing four shows involved. Has that ever happened before?
Well, I mean, I think it's fair to say that Dick Wolf is a little different than most TV producers. He's been extremely successful. He's had so many shows on the air over the years. And, you know, like we were actually just talking about this the other day. We were talking about how some shows share a universe so they could sort of, you know, cross back and forth. It's like, you know, it's not just comic book shows that, you know, you have to talk about the universe anymore. You know, for example, the good place on NBC with Kristen Bell, one of the things that they were talking about is the fact that there was evidence in an episode that The Good Place exists in the same universe as Parks and Rec because Mike Schur is the creator on both of them. So it's pretty interesting, especially with the Chicago shows. I mean, like they are all successful, and they're all successful with different people. It's not necessarily the same people who watch all four shows.
Right.
I think that spinoffs are a good way to sort of commemorate, you know, sweeps, get a lot of attention on the show. Particularly with those shows, they're always dealing with sort of emergency events, mm-hmm. and those can very easily cross over. And if they're all based in Chicago, they all go to the same bar. It's pretty easy.
Oh, it would be.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. And, you know, I've watched various episodes of all of those, and I really enjoy it. But now I feel like I'm so behind. I would have to binge so long to get caught up on all the different Chicago shows.
Well, I think the good things about the good thing about those Chicago shows is that they're you know, they're really mostly based on sort of the case of the week. And so you're not really missing too much if you were to jump in right in the middle. You know, I think that, you know, there's going to be some serialized elements to the show. There's going to be this person's dating that person or this person is on suspension or whatever. But, you know, I think you can catch up pretty quickly with those shows.
I'm going to do that.
It's not like watching Lost or something. Like, you can't, like, jump right in the middle of Lost.
Right.
Although I was lost while watching it.
And you saw every episode.
And I loved it. But, yeah. Can we, like, go from Lost to The Walking Dead? Because Bill and I are both Walking Dead fans. What do you have on that?
Well, so we have a weekly video series that's called Dead Inside. And it's basically our editors sort of taking their best guesses at what happens next. And some of them are big fans of the comic books. And so they understand, you know, how the stories were treated on the comic books. And others are just fans of the show. And, you know, they sort of venture their best guesses based on the interviews that they've done and the people they've talked to. And, you know, the big thing that they focused on this week were, there were two things. The first thing was, why was Rick smiling in that scene where he was surrounded by a bunch of people in the junkyard pointing guns at him? And, you know, their conclusion was basically, there are
a lot of
people.
Should we say spoiler alert if people haven't caught up yet? Just give you a little spoiler alert just so you know.
Tune away for a minute if you don't want to hear the theory, but I would love to hear the theory.
Yeah, me too.
What is your theory there?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's too much of a spoiler to say this, but basically, you know, I mean, I think that their theory, which I think is a pretty strong one, is that, you know, they're up against these guys, the Saviors, Negan's team, you know, which is, you know, they're really strong and they have numbers. And all of a sudden they've introduced the idea of the kingdom and all the people that live there. And then now Rick has found all of these people who have another settlement. They have a lot of guns, a lot of people. And so I think that the wheels are spinning in his head, and he's thinking, like, how can these three entities sort of team up to fight Negan?
That's what I read it as.
Yeah, like the happiness in numbers. Like, all of a sudden we've got some people on our side.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a little weird for him to smile like that at that moment, but I think that's what that was about.
The light bulb went off.
Yeah. The other thing that people were talking about is just the idea that they're hoping for a Daryl, Daryl to reunite with Carol soon.
Right.
Because those are always sort of fun scenes, and they haven't seen each other for a long time, obviously.
And people love when their names rhyme, don't they? Don't you think that's true, Mickey? I do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I have a feeling, I know this is probably wrong, because Carol's a great character, but it's like you don't need her anymore. She's off on her own. I'm saying she's the next one to get taken out.
I hope you're
that's
wrong.
That's interesting. I think, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like she's gone through so much at this point that and I think the actress is so great and people really like her. So
she is
great. I
don't
know, but I do think that, you know, her going off on her own, I don't think that's permanent. So
no, I don't think so either. I keep seeing ads on HBO for their new miniseries, Big Little Lies. And all I know is it's got one of the most impressive casts I've ever seen assembled for a TV show. Have you seen any of this yet, Mickey?
Yeah, so I've actually seen quite a bit of it. I've seen like 7 or 8 episodes at this point. The thing I can tell you is that the book was sort of a bestseller. You know, it really caught on with sort of the chick lit crowd. Mm-hmm. It was about these unhappy housewives in, I think in Australia or New Zealand. I can't remember where it actually took place, where the original took place. They've moved it for the purpose of this miniseries. They've moved it to Monterey, California. It's extremely beautifully shot. There's a lot of scenes of the ocean and the cliffs over the ocean. And it stars these incredible actresses, Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, and Shailene Woodley. And it's a murder mystery, believe it or not. And basically you find out right off the bat that someone has been murdered. You don't know who has been murdered. You don't know who did it. And that sort of slowly unfolds over the course of the episodes. I think there's 10 episodes total, and I've seen about 8 of them. And it's really great, a really great cast. You'll recognize a lot of the supporting players. Laura Dern is in it. Alexander Skarsgård from True Blood is in it. It's really great. And it's basically about the fact that there's these people who look like that they have perfect lives do not. And it's a lot of fun. And Reese Witherspoon is outstanding. She plays like a real sort of annoying type A character that she does so well.
All right. It looks really good.
Doesn't it? Yeah. It really does. And that premieres on HBO this Sunday, I think, in Chicago. It's an 8 o'clock start. So Big Little Lies. Excellent.
That's right. And just so you know, it's Jean-Marc Vallée is the director of that, and he did Dallas Buyers Club, and he did Wild with Reese Witherspoon.
HBO continues their streak of they can pretty much get anyone to do anything they want. Everybody wants to work for HBO, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that generally speaking, you know, even just to broaden it further, I think that there's so many opportunities on television right now that I think that you're seeing a lot more people saying, like, yeah, I'll do a limited series. I'll do 8 episodes. I'll do 10 episodes. It's just like, you know, for them, it's just like shooting a very, you know, a longer movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pay is sort of increasing. It's not as comparable to movie pay just yet, but it's getting there. And
Kim, thank you very much. It's Bill Huff and it's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, rocking out to the music you hear.
I am.
You are. It's a combination of all the sunshine and the rock music. And how can you not react the way you are? Good for you.
It's a rocking Friday, Bill.
It sure is.
I'm getting my rock on.
I'm not going to argue.
I don't mean the rock.
We wanted to thank somebody, make mention of something that has been a part of the show for several months now.
We have the little thing we like to call the Bill and Wendy Firehouse Subs lunch break, and we partook in that today. And I had a steamer, can I just tell you?
Did you have
I know that sounds probably bad.
What is that exactly?
It's pastrami and corned beef and Swiss.
Oh.
With a pickle on the side.
Delicious, was it? Yeah.
I forgot to eat dinner last night, so I was really hungry today, and it really was awesome.
They're very kind. They make a ham and cheese. And as you know, anytime I order anything anywhere, I beg them. I get on my knees and I beg them and I say, please, please don't put a tomato on it. Please. And they always laugh. We're not. If you ask for no tomato, you're not going to get a tomato. And then they find the biggest, reddest, juiciest tomato they can find and they put it on my sandwich. At Firehouse, they do not do this.
When I know. They actually listen to you.
No tomato.
I will just always take your tomato.
But you're only with me a couple hours a day. I can't tell you how many times I'll just stop somewhere and pick up something and I go, I really don't want a tomato. Sir, that is not a problem.
Do you ever eat a tomato?
Mm-mm, I don't like them.
So you never have a BLT?
I do, but a slightly modified version.
No tea?
It's just called the BL and it's named that because of me, because those are my initials.
Those are the initials that were in your underpants.
Still are.
Which cracks me up.
Still are to this day.
When you said that, how your mom went through and put the little Sharpie marker and would put your initials, and you said, you know, mine said BL, a listener called and said, really, you have to put your last initial?
I'm unclear on why exactly she
she
felt
really
the need.
Did do it.
Maybe she thought I was loaning them out to friends or something, which I would never do. Even in the most extreme of circumstances, I don't see a need for that. But no, my underpants always had my initials BL in them. And still to this day, like I'll look, you know, when the laundry is done with the drying stage and it's time to put laundry away, although my undergarments look dramatically different from those of the rest of my family.
Right. You have all the girls. Mine look different than all the boys, too, because I have all the boys.
Hope, right.
How come we couldn't have had like a little half and half? Why is
sure.
it you have all girls and I have all boys?
I'm not sure. But I would not trade my situation for anything in the world.
Oh, I would.
Would you? There wasn't even a second of hesitation. I love the fact that I am the only guy at the house.
That's... Special treatment? You're treated like the princess?
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say special treatment, but guys are...
Competitive?
Just odd.
The dynamic has changed, and I know listeners completely are aware of this. We're just learning it. It's like all of a sudden these cute little boys that you had become men.
They're territorial.
And then now there are three men in the house.
Right.
Dylan's 14, technically,
so
a young man.
So on the cusp of it.
But yeah.
But you get that, right? If there's, it's like, remember when you used to watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom and you'd see antelope like going at each other with their horns?
That's what happens at my house all the time. And it's not just the kids fighting. It's like, you know, they'll throw down with Jim and he's like, what?
I know.
It's just a weird dynamic that changes. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But, you know, it's so funny. I can't remember where I was. I was at a doctor's appointment or I was somewhere and they asked, they were just making small talk like, oh, do you have any kids? Mm-hmm. Yes, two boys. How old are they? Teenagers. Oh, so you're the only girl in the house? I bet they treat you like a queen. And I stopped for a minute and I said, I don't think they've even noticed I'm a girl. I think they just think I'm one of them.
I know there's something to that, because maybe
I'm not a frilly little
right
girl, though.
Right.
But still, once in a while,
you would like the treatment that a woman
just
deserves.
Once
you would think
a year. I usually get that on my birthday.
That's well. Then there's your once a year.
All right. How about twice a year?
You have a whole nother 11 months and 3 weeks to think about that.
But see, the girls notice you're a boy.
Yeah, it comes up sometimes. It's come up a few times. When the girls were little, for those of you who don't know, my daughters are twins. They're just a minute apart. And I can't tell you how many people, when they'd say, oh, you have twins, what do you have, a boy and a girl? And I go, no, two girls. And you always got this look like, oh, too bad. You know, sometimes people would
what?
Say that. As if to say, if you had a girl and a boy, that would be the perfect
life
scenario.
Life is perfect, man.
When Kylie was born, I remember the doctors going, you have a daughter. And then inside I'm going, please, another daughter. Please, another daughter. And then I got that good news. That's exactly what I was hoping for. I would have been fine with a boy, but I wanted two girls.
I wanted nice kids. That's really all I wanted.
And
I got them.
And
I right. did. They are. They are
they
really
seem
nice
to be
boys.
Very nice kids, right?
They
but,
really are.
But you thought about it like each time you knew you were having a baby, you thought you picked the scenario of, oh, if it's a girl, this will happen. If it's a boy, this will happen. Were you hoping one way or another?
I honestly didn't care. Jim, of course, wanted a boy first.
Yeah.
I don't know why. He just did, and some guys do.
I think most guys are like that.
Yeah.
I think they are.
And I think when I was pregnant for the second time, I did not wait. I wanted to find out as soon as I
yeah,
could
right.
find out. And I think I went back and forth like, oh, a girl would be nice, but then a boy would be nice because then they could hang out and then I don't have to get all new clothes.
Oh, that's practical.
So
right?
then it was like, really, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
I really didn't have a preference.
Yeah.
And I know how I was when I was a little girl, and now maybe I'm relieved I didn't have a girl. I don't know if this happened to you, but after, you know, my mom passed away before the kids were born. But
yeah.
now that I'm a mom and I see sometimes how the kids act towards me, I realize I put my mom through a lot of crap. Nothing major, but a lot of snippiness.
But it doesn't hit you until you're on
until
the
you're
other
a parent.
Side.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, boy, she really was a saint.
Yeah. I guess we tend to realize that a little too late sometimes.
I know. Isn't that kind of sad?
Yeah. Anytime through the process of having the kids, like little moments would come to me and I go, wow, they were right. And it kills you to admit that. But you go, wow, when they would say you can't do this or you have to do this or you should do this, they were actually kind of on target. That hurts. That's very painful.
It does hurt. And I feel like you had a great relationship with your parents. I did too. It's just it was different than it is now.
Yeah.
Again, I will field a lot of questions from the boys that – I say, why don't you go ask your father? But Jim doesn't talk to them about things like that. So sometimes sex-related questions, and they'll just matter-of-factly ask me things. Michael pretty much knows now, but, you know,
yeah.
Dylan, when they were younger, they'd ask me, what is this? And I try not to react, and I would just say what needed to be said at the time.
Right.
Where do babies come from? You know, all my mom said was, they come from God.
Oh.
And
that's interesting.
All of a sudden, when God thinks it's time for you to have a baby, you put on weight and you have a baby.
Oh.
So for a while, I thought overweight people were all pregnant. I did.
All right. Until when? When did you realize that was not quite as accurate as it could be?
Until my friend Linny explained the truth to me.
Oh.
And then I was like, no way did my parents do that.
May I suggest when you're in a quandary as to whether or not you should answer a question or Jim should, you send them Linny's way.
I did just find her on Facebook, so maybe I will.
My boys have a ton of questions for you, Linny. We'd appreciate some straightforward answers.
But see, now we have a different relationship with our kids than our parents did with us.
Right.
I didn't come from, you know, any kind of, well, everybody has a little dysfunction, but it was pretty normal. It's mm-hmm. just... You know, no one talked about the birds and the bees, really. You learned it from the neighborhood kids.
You know, my mom always used to say, because now keep in mind, we were born in the 60s, so kind of children of the 60s into the 70s. So then you add 25 years to that to come up with our parents' generation. And my mom used to tell me how whenever somebody in their family was probably talking about sex, they did it. My mom, her parents are from Slovenia. So every once in a while, they would just for some reason talk in Slovenian and then they would laugh. And my mom had no idea what that meant. But then later on, she goes, I bet they were talking about something dirty that we weren't supposed to hear because we were kids. But she said it was the oddest thing. Every once in a while, they would point at something and whisper something, and they would cackle. Had no idea what that was. So try that with the kids.
Can you teach me some words in Slovenian?
I don't speak any myself. See if Lenny's got an in. Maybe she's got a Rosetta Stone. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got a lot to discuss with you. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 gets it done. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's
are you dropping cans?
Yeah, I was just dropping some cans. That's what we say in the music business, Wendy.
It sounds like cans are falling off the shelf.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it does sound like that, doesn't it?
Were you a stack boy at
I
the
never
AMP?
Was. No, I never was. It's Bill and Wendy. If your kids have any sex questions, have them call us, because Linny, Wendy's friend from childhood, will be on to answer those questions.
No, I wasn't.
Wouldn't that be a fun segment to have her come on and just do that for people?
Some of the stuff she told me could not be said on the air.
Oh, it's that bad?
Well, it was explaining it in kid terms.
When you first heard what is real, don't you go, please, that couldn't possibly be real.
I said there's no way my parents did that.
Yeah.
I was adopted.
Yeah.
That's what I started saying.
Right. They wouldn't do that to each other. They're civil people acting like animals. Come on. I'm smarter than that.
I can't even think about that. How can you just even talk about that?
Shouldn't be discussed.
Could you blow that thought bubble away from my head?
Gone.
Oh,
gone.
God. I just really... Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I love you guys, obviously. So what do you want to talk about? Finding out how babies are made or how many kids and sexes you want?
Well, discuss that with us, because what are your thoughts on that? Do you want, before your children are born, is that a normal thing to go, you know what, I'd rather have a girl or I'd rather have a boy?
Yeah, well, I see the funny thing is my mother-in-law, God rest her, she died at like 95 last year.
95, and, good for her, man.
Yeah, but you know, she was of that generation where you know all you can think about is as long as they have five fingers and or 10 fingers and 10 toes.
Five would not be enough, just for the record.
You know,
I'm not.
What?
If somebody's out there listening,
yes, that may have five.
It's working
fingers.
For you, but. Yeah. Somebody's going to call. It'll take them longer, but they'll call.
I was very outspoken that I wanted one of each. I didn't care. And my wife and I were very, thankfully, we agreed right up front we wanted three children.
Wow, you knew that right away.
Yeah, that was something we never argued about. Well, we found a lot of other things to worry about in the 30 years since, but...
That's for another day, right, Dan?
Yeah. And so I said, I don't care, you know, what you do, but I want one of each. Well, the first two children were girls. So I was pretty clear. I said, you've got to get it right this time. I want a boy.
Although I heard that the sperm cell is the one that determines the sex of the baby.
I've heard the exact same thing.
So it's your fault, Dan.
All right, well, that doesn't change.
Oh, sorry to interrupt.
I'm a stubborn little guy. I was blaming her. So anyway, the third child arrived, and thankfully I had my son. But my mother-in-law, you know, was just like insistent that I should not talk about what I wanted in terms of sex.
Why is that? Just bad luck?
I think, again, as I said in the beginning, in that generation, all you wanted was a healthy child.
Right.
And I said, yeah, I want a healthy child, but I also want a boy.
But don't tempt God.
Right. Don't mess with the fates.
Well, fortunately, I've got three adult children who are well-adjusted, successful, and enjoying life.
You did okay then.
Perfect.
Dan, so, thank you.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too.
Know people, though, who if once you have two kids or three kids or four kids, I know a couple of couples who say, well, we're going to keep doing this until we have, like if they have all boys, until we have a girl, and then we'll stop, or the opposite.
That's how you get eight boys or eight girls.
I know. Isn't that crazy, though? Why I don't know why that would be your deciding factor of when to stop having kids. We're just going to go until one of them is the opposite sex than the others. Then we'll know it's time to stop.
I wanted a bunch of kids. We had three kids in my family, so I guess I wanted three kids or more.
Mm-hmm.
But then...
how do you think you'd do with three?
I don't know, because I always feel like there'd be an odd man out, but...
I always look at it as just we would be outnumbered. Like right immediately, every day you're outnumbered.
Right, one parent per one kid.
Yeah, it just seems more manageable, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they, you know, I didn't know how I was going to deal with more than one either at a different time, and they kind of just find their place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I wanted like five kids at one point.
I know so many people who have gone that direction. Like their dream, their aspiration is, we're going to have six kids, we're going to have five kids and stuff, and then they always, It's
smaller.
Never the opposite. It's never anyone who goes, yeah, we were really hoping with two kids would be great, and now we have 11, and we love it. It's great. We just kept having them and having them.
You have what you have.
Right.
I don't think I could handle five kids. Plus, financially, how do you do that?
I can't figure that out. I don't know.
I mean, even, I guess if, you know, again, and when a mom would stay at home, you didn't have to worry about daycare, but with two parents working, daycare almost takes away one salary.
Right. Right.
Oh, it's so expensive to have children. And you think it's bad with your kids in college.
Yeah. But we have two. If we had four or five or something.
I know. And I keep forgetting you're experiencing this at the same time. Like I have one going away to college in the fall, and I got another 4 years to wait till Dylan goes.
Right, right.
But you, it's like double whammy.
It is.
I keep forgetting that. Hi, Lori. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're good. We were talking about Bill's underpants and his mom would put BL instead of just B.
Oh, yeah. I have three boys. Two of them are 18 months apart, but growing up, they always wore the same size. So for underwear, I always put their initials in it. For T-shirts, one got Fruit of the Loom and one got Hanes.
Oh, ritzy.
And, yeah, it was easy for laundry day, you know?
Yeah.
And I still do it. They're in their 20s, the older two.
Wow.
And if I buy them both a T-shirt that I can't remember which one belongs to, I put their initials in it.
First and last initial, or just first initial?
Just first initial.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, I sometimes do it with my husband and I, too. Like, we both buy a Blackhawks championship jersey, and
right.
They have to be the same size, you know?
I've done that, too, but I just put the first. Like
the first initial is enough.
Yeah. Not in your house.
No, my mom went last initial, too.
Yep. Just in case she had another.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess so.
Well, thank you, Lori, and happy weekend to you.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate
you calling.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's a lot more coming up after that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Oh, yeah. Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Call us, 312-981-7200. Health.com recently did a report in which they stated that negativity, being negative, may have links to serious health issues, which could include heart disease, stroke, and dementia, all bad things. We have on with us Christopher Macklin right now on the telephone, an energy coach, to discuss how negativity can affect your health, especially the news. Christopher, thank you for being here. How are you?
Oh, Bill, thanks for having me on, Wendy, as well.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. First of all, I have to tell you, I'm in an amazing mood today, and it's because we just broke a record in Chicago for warmth. So over 64 degrees, we broke the record.
Oh,
it's sunny. It's a Friday. So I feel like I'm in an amazing mood, and yet that can make total sense.
Absolutely. I mean, it's easy to, get up on the wrong side of bed, you stub your toe, you have a bad morning, and, you know, things get worse and worse because you've just shifted your negative pattern to think of negative things. Or you switch on the news and you hear all this hateful things going on, you think, my goodness, you know, it's just crazy. And people internalize that. They don't realize, but, you know, I call it third-dimensional drivel. You know, it's a lot of this stuff is just drivel. It's talking about he said that, that said. you know, that shouldn't affect your life. You know, your life is more precious than that. You should be actually in the moment, you know, present around your family, looking at all the positive things in your life, because everyone's got amazing positive things, but it's so easy to get caught up with that, and it can create rifts in families. It can create problems. Oh, well, I don't like him, or, you know, politicians and this and that, you know, and it's just, it doesn't make any sense to me, because it's all about loving people. It's not about, you know, judging them for what they believe in or not believe in. And so I think it's very important to kind of stay a step back. But what happens with that energy, it builds up around the heart. It builds up in layers. And that's why people always say, if you get stressed, you might end up with a heart attack. Absolutely, because the more negative energy has around the heart muscle starts to struggle, because it's burdened with this energy. You know, the heart is a storage of energy, and people don't believe that. And if you look at all the chakras and the Chinese medicine, it kind of explains it. But then what happens is, because of blockages, it can affect your adrenals, it can affect your liver, it can affect your GI. So, you know, people get problems, stuck energies, and they end up with things like fibromyalgia. Worse, they can end up with cancer, because if your vibration drops, fungal infections, which everyone has in their body, which is a natural occurrence, they just sit there until you've got negative energy, and then they're allowed to actually start to mutate and turn into cancer tumors. And, you know, we get rid of cancer tumor. It's like a common cold. It's so easy to get rid of. But the cause, it's important to get rid of the cause, because if you don't get rid of the cause, which is the emotion, it'll come back, you know.
But there's always, Christopher, there's always going to be bad news. I mean, no matter what you're doing, there's going to be some things that are going to upset you a little bit. How better to process these things? Is there a way that we can do this that's a healthier way?
Well, I think you just got to focus on, there's always positive things. I mean, if negative news comes in, I mean, I don't associate with that. And yes, it's bad news, but again, you've got to get back within your own space, you know, because if you internalize that, you internalize that negative energy, it's going to make you sick. So it's important to shift that mindset to positivity. Okay, that happened in the world, but, you know, the world is a good place. I mean, in news, you know, people say, oh, this happened, that happened, Iraq, Iran, somewhere. But they don't say, in America today, I'll guarantee there's over 50, 80 million amazing deeds done by American people today. Mm-hmm. And no one ever, you know, puts that on news. God, we had 50 million, you know, American people doing amazing things for the next door neighbor, or a guy on the street that gave him $20, and, you know, whatever it is, you know. Betty in the soup kitchen, she's been there for 43 years. Instead, all we do is get negative stuff all the time. And I think you've got to think about the positive things, because they're not there. So you have to create them in your mind and think, well, America is an amazing place, you know. And I think all we have to do is focus on the positivity of what's happening, you know. The news and things like that is just the very minor few things that happen, but are blown up, you know, and you know, portrayed as something huge. When, you know, if you look at the positive side, I think that's the important thing to look at.
All right. I have a theory, and I'm a little stressed out a lot of the time, but I try not to get upset about the things that I can't change, things that are out of my control, because to me that's kind of wasted energy and wasted anxiety. Is there any truth to that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can within your field, within your life, you can change anything. But in governmental or, you know, worldwide things, you can only try and think about changing things. But, you know, but what's important is what you create in your mind, you can create in reality. So you're absolutely right. You know, the big things you cannot change. So why not focus on the things you can change? And if you change the vibration of America, because your vibration's up today by that little bit, that'll add to somebody else, and suddenly things get better, you know. Because if you have positive energy, it transfers to other people. You become a people magnet, because you think, wow, you know, this person's really high vibrational.
I would like to be a person magnet.
Can you help Wendy with that, Christopher? Is there some way you can make that happen?
Go ahead. I love talking to people, and I do. I gravitate to people. And I have to tell you, there are people that I don't know, and I'll be shopping or something, and somebody will come up to me and just say, hey, how do you think this blouse looks on me? I'm amazed that people come and ask me things. You've seen it happen, Bill, where
many
people
times
come up and just like tell me like some tragic story. And I'm like, oh, I am so sorry to hear that. People do just come up and kind of unload on me. What's wrong with me?
Well, that's because you've got high vibration and you're an empath, so you listen. And, you know, all you have to do is give them a hug and say, oh, bless you, you know. And just for that, you know, that one person who unloaded some things on you, as long as you don't take that energy on, you by just giving them a hug and caring, you've changed their day. Like, wow, someone does care, you know, because there's so many people who don't care. You know, it's really important to show your empathy and show that you really show up and care. You know, we do a lot for people all over, you know, and it's amazing. It blows me away and it excites me. It gives me a purpose to get up in the morning and know that, you know, for example, there's a girl, she was in New York, she's gone back to Serbia. She had spinal cancer right down her spine. She couldn't even bend over. Now the cancer's gone, and she's almost good to go. But it was caused by emotion. And so we've got to make sure that the emotion's gone because it will come back, you know. And, you know, that goes for many people. You know, we did 10,500 healing sessions last year.
10,000?
Can you imagine, you know, 10,500 healing sessions last year.
And you were involved in these?
Oh, yeah, I do them all.
That's not bad.
I got to tell you,
busy schedule.
My mother had a very slow-growing cancer years ago, and her first bout with it, she has since passed on. It came back and took her, but at the beginning, when she first heard she had this cancer, she went to some, my sister took her to some conference or something, and the person there was trying to say, envision like a Pac-Man game, and like cancer are the dots that the Pac-Man monster is going to go eat. And it's weird, but you can in your mind help get rid of things and fight things, and I don't know if you can help heal yourself, but
a positive attitude is going to help you.
Absolutely. So there's total truth to that.
Well, I think, you know, to heal yourself completely, you've got absolute faith. And absolute faith is almost like, you know, if someone's squeezing a gun to your head, you can either commit suicide and die, or you can turn around and say, do you know what, you cannot touch me. Now, if you've got the power of the mind, you can change reality like that. And so that power, if you've got that power, you know, to be faced with death and overcome it by changing the reality, then you have the power to heal yourself. If not, then the power of positive thinking certainly helps because it gets your vibration up. Cancer can't live in a high vibration body. But if you look at, you know, all the stuff that happens, you know, in America with the foods and, you know, corn syrup, all sorts of, you know, all sorts of additives that are banned in Europe and yet they're here, no wonder, you know, one in two people get cancer sometime in their life because, you know, it's toxins, it's emotion, it's, you know, it's everything, you know.
We're talking
so
with
it's important to step out of.
Oh, sorry, Christopher. We're talking with energy coach Christopher Macklin, helping us answer the question, can the news make you sick? Can the news ruin your life? You alluded to what's gone on in the news a couple of times since we've been talking to you, so I'll just elaborate a little bit more. The election was very hard for many of us to accept. I can't tell you how many people I saw the day after the election or the week after election just kind of hanging their head, walking around going, what just happened? What does that do when something happens that's that cataclysmic to certain people? How do you rebound from that, Christopher?
Well, I think you just got to realize that, you know, we're all in it together. You know, again, I mean, the president is the president. And, you know, I've got my own opinions about him, which is unfair to share with people, I guess. But what I do see generically in the political parties is a lot of filthy, dirty stuff going on.
From both parties.
Money. Well,
right?
Yeah, but all parties.
Yeah.
All parties, but in politicians.
Right.
And I think sometimes if you get someone new who's very different, it might sort of break that apart and actually change the whole persona of it, you know, because, and it happened in Britain, you know, I remember something like in Britain where they fiddle in the accounts and all the members of parliament were showing up and, you know, they fiddled this, they did that, and nothing happened with it. You think, you've got to be kidding, they got away with millions of pounds,
yeah.
And yet no one did it. You know, it's bizarre, you know, so I think sometimes politicians get too comfortable with all the, you know, all the abilities, and sometimes, you know, someone fresh and you look at it as a businessman might actually help change it, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have a book currently out, sir?
I've got two books. One is called Dissolving the Enigma of Divine Healing. It talks about cause and effect, what causes leukemia, you know. Again, leukemia, you know, you're not making the right white blood cells and therefore, you know, your platelets. But what causes that, you know, and people don't know. What causes, for example, arthritis? You know, if you go to the doctors and you've got arthritis in your right hand, you know, your right wrist, but not on the left one, the doctors say, well, that's old age. But hang on a minute, they're both the same age. You know, one's got arthritis,
right.
The other one hasn't. So something's going on, and it's energy imbalance, you know. If your bones don't get the energy they need, they start to calcify. And, you know, so it goes on. So, you know, the books do help. The second one is Divine Transcendence. That talks about what's going on in the world, manipulations, and how to actually step out of them, because there is a lot of manipulation going on, and people don't realize, and it's not to be scared of it. It's just to understand it so you can block it out of your life and keep yourself positive, you know.
All right, and some of the ways to clear your mind of this toxic energy. I've done acupuncture. I am not currently doing it, although I got to tell you, I miss it. I really felt awesome after doing it. Yoga is good for many people. Do you have some suggestions?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think positive. We have a few CDs out. You know, there's one detox CD where it switches toxins out of your body in space and time. It's amazing. You feel like there's breeze coming out of your body. We have one that releases the heart chakra, the emotion. It does 21 releases at the time. So all you have to do is lie there for 20 minutes in a relaxed state, and it does it for you, you know. So these instruments that we create are there to help you, you know. And think positive, you know. Switch off the news and start going out, you know, in the world and walking and, you know, being amongst trees and nature and start looking at the blessings, you know. If I can give you a very quick story.
Sure.
I had a lady, she phoned the radio station. I was on the radio station. She said, well, I don't know if I can help you. She said, I'm ugly. I've got no teeth. My hair's falling out. My bed's broke. I thought, oh, okay. So I said, okay, let's look at the positive. So,
where is the positive there?
No, I said, do you have a house? She goes, yes. Okay. Do you have food on the table? Yes. Do you have a car? Yes. I said, okay, don't you think you're doing pretty well? I said, every time I go to New York, I see all these people on the street and in ghettos and things, and they struggle, and we give them $20 here and there to try and help them. But you've got all this. It's amazing. And your bed's broke. If you ask God, you know, and say, look, I'm manifesting your bed. Dear God, I deserve one. You'll get one. So she did that. And a week later, she emailed the radio station and said, I can't believe it. A charity turned up with a new bed on my doorstep out of the blue. She goes, I'm blown away, you know. So she got a new bed. If you keep telling the universe and God that, you know, it's broke, you manifest more broke. If you do the same with my bills, I can't pay my bills, you just manifest, well, there's more bills to pay because you can't pay them. If you say, do you know what, I've got abundance in my life, full stop, there is no doubt, then things start flowing. And yeah. I think it's, you know, you have to be it.
You do have to be it. You have to put it out there. You have to be positive. And you have to give us your website so people can find all your information.
Absolutely. It's Christopher Macklin Ministries. Macklin, M-A-C-K-L-I-N. Ministries is plural.com. And, you know, if you want help, please, please, you know, give us a call. We get rid of fibromyalgia very quickly, you know. We get rid of a lot of diseases and the cause and the symptoms, so it never comes back. And that's so important to me. Gives people a new lease of life. They find their gifts. And another thing I think as well is I hear, you know, when I do all these healings, 10 North Thousand last year, so many people say, I hate my job. Oh, God, the boss. Oh, God, this. Or, oh, goodness, that, you know. Well, if it's that bad, change it, you know, because you should be able to get out of bed and say, you know, I'm so looking forward to going work. I'm excited about the day. The people I'm going to help, you know, you've got to find your gift. Everyone's got a gift. And whatever that gift is, find it. Nurture it, and you'll be blessed by it because it's a gift from God, you know, and they always bless you when you actually pursue your gift, your talent. And I think that's a really, really important thing.
Christopher, thank you. Appreciate you being here. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill and Wendy. Bless you. Take care.
Take care. Christopher Macklin Ministries.com. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, I agree that positive energy can cause illnesses. Someone has texted in, Germany did a study years ago. They came up with 85% of diseases caused from human emotion.
Really?
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. When you have bad things going on and you feel terrible about waking up every day, I mean, don't you notice life goes like that? Like, it's a series of, like, you get, like, a bunch of good things happening
sure.
at once.
Yeah.
And then maybe it levels out for a while, and then it's like, oh, what else can go wrong? It's not really up, down, up, down. It's like a series of ups, then a series of downs.
To that point, in situations where I've had friends who are on kind of a negative roll a little bit, I always say, please believe me. Things just balance out. It's the weirdest thing, but if you look over the course of a day, a week, a life, a year, things just kind of balance out.
They do. And, you know, you often wonder a lot of times you hear about a family who they've lost someone in an accident and someone else in that family has cancer. It's just you often say, God, it's like everything's happening to that family.
Yeah.
I mean, do what you can to be positive. I don't, you know, if you believe in God and that helps you, you go ahead and do it. As for our last guest, healing people, I don't know. I I don't know.
I'm always a little skeptical about that. I really am. But then we've talked to so many people over the years that tell you stories that make you wonder. But I sometimes get a little skeptical. But I am a true believer in what he said about trying to stay positive.
And isn't it hard in this day and age?
It's been a little challenging sometimes.
Why can't we all just be nicer to one another?
Starting
right now.
Now.
I mean, really, just if somebody says something you don't, I am just really so sick of these fights on Facebook about your candidate and my candidate. He's not my president. He's everybody's president currently right now, whether you like him or not. Donald Trump is our president. And, you know, maybe he should throw out some positivity as well.
I swear, I know this will sound crazy because I know that the internet is mostly a good thing. I know that our lives are probably a lot better and easier because the internet exists. But I also know that now everybody is so short-tempered. If you go to any website about anything, it could be about making cupcakes. Somebody will give a recipe for cupcakes, and somebody will say, that recipe is idiotic. If you want a really good cupcake, and then somebody will slam that guy, and somebody will slam that woman. I don't know when that started, but that's a thing now.
It's the other way, too, Bill. They said that places like Facebook can actually be bad for your self-esteem.
I'm sure of
it. No, but for a different reason, because you're looking at all these posts where people are bragging about how good they've got it.
And you don't have it.
You're seeing all these happy posts, and you're like, ah, everybody else is so happy. And I'm like me.
I know. So I believe me, I understand the internet's purpose and all the good that it does, but I also think for the reasons we just mentioned and many more, it's making things tougher on a lot of people.
I know, and I said it's time to go back to posting pictures of little puppies, kittens, and food, but then you're right. People are fighting about
the
food.
Your puppy's stupid. Your food is
awful. I know.
We
can't. Come on. It goes back. If you can't say something nice about someone, say nothing at all.
Right.
It's going to be a short show.
It's going to be a very short show.
Very quiet show.
That's all right. Stick around. We have more of our short show. It's Bill Money, WGN.
Ronald, everything looks green.
Oh, green butterfly.
And green footprints.
Uncle O'Grimacy.
Hello, boys. I'm back. And I'm painting everything green to match the shamrock shakes.
Shamrock shakes are back? Yummy.
Let's celebrate at McDonald's.
Sing it, Wendy. Sing it.
Shamrock shake up beautiful green.
Beautiful green. Yep.
What is that, Goofy in there?
No, that's not Goofy.
Who's the first one talking like this?
That was the Grimace. That was Ronald McDonald's friend Grimace. And then his uncle, Uncle O'Grimacy, who would only come to McDonald Land during St. Patrick's Day, was also featured. He's like one of the forgotten gems of McDonald Land. Everybody remembers Mayor McCheese and the Grimace and Potsy Weber. Is he in there? I can't remember. Shamrock Shakes are back, everybody.
I've already had one.
Now,
I've tasted one.
Did you taste one?
Yeah. See, here's the thing, and we've talked about this, and we talk about this all the time this time of year when they come out.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Uncle O'Grimacy.
How did you know who I was talking about?
I just did.
I don't remember him.
Well, he was only on for a very short time. For a long time, they would do these McDonald Land commercials, mostly on Saturday mornings. Not only on Saturday mornings, but McDonald's is pretty savvy when it comes to advertising. They know their target audience is kids that want to convince their parents to go to McDonald's. So on any given Saturday morning, you were laced with the commercials from McDonald's.
They had half-hour videos. My parents would show them to my kids when they were babysitting.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like they call them indoctrination.
Wow. So Uncle O'Grimacy was basically the Grimace, who's just like a big blue
blob.
Blob, yeah. But he was a green blob, and they made him, they gave him a pipe that, like a leprechaun would smoke. And he would always come around the time of the Shamrock Shakes.
Now, what did he represent? Because you have, Mayor McCheese, who was a cheeseburger.
Right. Big Mac, who was a Big Mac. The professor, who had a weird fixation on French fries.
Okay, but the Grimace was just like a big blob of goo. Was it from, their soda machines? Every once in a while, you'd get like a big glob of corn syrup or something?
Yes.
Because is he?
I know what you mean. Like, it makes sense.
Is he a monster? No, but he's a big glob of goo.
Although, when you think about it, just the mere fact that Mayor McCheese is just a guy who's got a giant hamburger for a head, that's kind of
eerie.
I always
wanted to marry him.
What happened? Why did you marry him?
He said no.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wouldn't have brought that up.
You're right, though. They were food, and none of them was very attractive.
No.
No.
Nope.
Because didn't they have chicken nugget people, too?
For a little while, they did. Yeah, like well, were they singing? I'm trying to remember.
McNuggets, yes.
They were like in a garden, and they would sing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's realistic. They don't go.
My McNuggets sing to me all the time.
But why would they put them in a garden setting? They didn't grow off of a plant.
I thought they were just in a box.
Oh, for some, maybe.
But the Grimace
maybe
to me.
Maybe it was the French fries I'm thinking about that were in a garden.
Are you worried that the chicken nuggets looked unnatural somewhere?
That's impossible.
But they all kind of represented something, or they were human form, except for the big glob of goo.
And then they also had the Hamburglar,
right,
who instead of paying at the time was 79 cents for a hamburger, he thought it better to go to jail to steal a hamburger. That's good planning, Hamburglar.
All right. Well, I had every year my kids really get into the Shamrock Shakes and whatever. Okay, fine. Because I guess when we were kids.
Couldn't wait.
See, now I could go the rest of my life not having one.
But remember when you were a kid, that was like that. Like what I was saying about spring training for baseball, where you go, oh, pitchers and catchers are showing up. That means it's almost summer. Like when you saw Shamrock Shakes, you go.
Spring is in the air.
Coming. Yeah.
And they, what I loved about them is they were just, I'm boring. I like vanilla over chocolate. So they were just a vanilla shake at first with green food coloring. And that's why I liked them. And then all of a sudden they turned minty.
Yeah. Is that a bad thing or a good thing?
I don't like mint.
But Wendy, it gave more, like once we all figured out that the Shamrock Shake was just a vanilla shake with green food coloring, we needed the next level. You don't think so? You would prefer they stay vanilla?
I stopped having them when they went mint.
Yeah.
And I don't know what year that happened. I still don't know what Grimace is.
No one knows what Grimace is.
They had Sunday, Ronald's dog.
Yeah, for a little while. We've just been handed a list of characters that live in McDonaldland.
Which one do you want to be? I'd like to be Birdie the Early Bird.
No, I don't remember Birdie the Early Bird at all.
It was one of the first female characters in 1980 to 2011.
That's what I used to notice about McDonaldland. It was very male-centric. There were little to no women in
Women ate better.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe.
Do you remember Captain Crook?
Yeah, he liked the filet-o-fishes. He lived on those.
Oh, yeah.
He was like a pirate who only lived on filet-o-fish.
All right, well, you remember
but
more than I did.
He was at sea all the time. How was he getting those at sea? Maybe he'd buy a bundle of them and freeze them. I don't know.
They even had talking trash cans.
Right.
I forgot about that.
Right.
Still makes sense. What is Grimace?
He's just a blob.
I
He's
know.
Like a purple blob of hair.
I'll take one of those, please.
Kids can relate to that. So, yeah, initially, Shamrock Shakes come out. All you get is vanilla with green food coloring. And then they said, let's make them minty. People, except for Wendy, will enjoy the mint flavor. So then they did. And then, I know you won't remember this, but trust me on this. Back at another radio station, I said to you, I go, you know how McDonald's could really make a killing at this is do a chocolate version of this.
And people now they called have. In, though, and said that you could order it.
Secret menu
yeah,
item.
But yeah, but I didn't know what to call it. I kept forgetting. Like a chocolate mint shake, chocolate mint shamrock or something.
Yeah.
Because at least the chocolate would take away some of the mint. The Shamrock Shake is pretty darn minty.
Yeah, it is.
What goes into a grasshopper? Aren't they just like virgin grasshoppers?
That's like creamed mint, right?
Yeah, but it's still the same concept.
Right, right. But a chocolate mint, and now it's become a reality. They've added four flavors of Shamrock Shakes. I didn't even know this was a possibility. Available now, you got the chocolate Shamrock Shake, the Shamrock Chocolate Chip Frappe.
Had that one.
Those, it says, are both cold. How was that one?
That, honestly, was pretty good, except I don't like foreign material in my shakes.
Yeah.
And there are little tiny chocolate chips. You know what I mean, though? Seriously, yeah. If you're getting a shake, I expect it to be a smooth, creamy thing. This is smooth and creamy, but there's little mini chocolate chips in it.
Well, that's a frappe, though, right? Is that different?
Well, there are still little chunks in there.
But if you go to like Baskin Robbins or something and get a chocolate mint shake, you're going to get those little.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that.
You don't want that?
I need it smooth. I need it all chunky or all smooth. Hmm. I can't have it mixed.
No, I enjoy that part.
Really?
I like that part.
Well, you would like this. There's a hint of coffee flavored, but just a hint.
I don't want that. That would throw me out. They also have the Shamrock Mocha, which is that's got to be a coffee based drink, right?
Yes, I would try that. Espresso, steamed milk, mint, and mocha syrups.
That sounds all right, I guess.
Or do you say syrup? I get corrected all the time at home.
I go back and forth.
I say syrup.
And then the oh, Steve, yeah?
Is he telling us to be quiet? Yeah.
I forgot. Steve's in the library. We must keep it down.
Sometimes I just think better of it.
And then the fourth one is...
I love when that happens, by the way.
You guys, keep it down. I'm trying to sleep up
Come
here
on.
With the talking. And then the Shamrock Hot Chocolate, which that sounds very good to me. I bet you wouldn't get little bits of chocolate pieces in that. That would be more smooth, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I don't like my liquids hot, except coffee.
Oh.
But hot chocolate. A lot of liquid
rules. I know. I got to tell you that McDonald's is one of my favorite iced coffees. Just iced coffees with cream and sugar. Sorry, Starbucks, but it's way better. And I think there's like a coffee happy hour between 4 and 6 where it's a dollar.
Oh.
It's really
Starbucks?
Good.
Starbucks?
No,
McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Okay. I don't think they do anything for a dollar at Starbucks. I don't think.
No. A napkin.
So maybe a napkin. So all four of those are available now. But wait, there's more.
What?
They have also... Oh, this is actually an interesting idea. They've come up with something to enhance your Shamrock Shake drinking. Can we take a quick break and I'll explain this to you? All right. It's Bill and Wendy. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's WGN.
Bill, your shillelagh is showing.
Oh, my gosh. Need to have my pants altered. All right, so McDonald's for years and years and years and years has been putting out the Shamrock Shakes. We're telling you the history of Shamrock Shakes. Do you remember this song from your childhood, Wendy? McDonald's is your kind of place. What came after that?
They serve you
rattlesnakes. They throw them in your face, then blast you into outer space.
Oh, which is a bad business, second verse.
Bad business model,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Who would go back for a second visit if that was the way you were treated? all right, so now, not only do you get a Shamrock Shake when you go to McDonald's, but they've added four more Shamrock Shake-based drinks, and in addition to that, it says here that McDonald's engineers have come up with a type of straw for better enjoying the Shamrock Shake. The Shamrock Shake has been a seasonal McDonald's specialty for decades, but even the classics can benefit from a high-tech update. This year, the fast food chain is launching a new version of the treat that layers the traditional mint flavor on top of chocolate. We've already told you that. And in a promotion of this new product, McDonald's is releasing a reinvented straw. As Co-Design reports, that's an industry paper that deals with all things fast food, straw, STRAW, which in this case stands for suction tube for reverse axial withdrawal. Is that something they came up with? Or is that's not where the word straw comes from, right?
I'll give them credit for that.
Let's give them credit for that. It was designed by real engineers at the aerospace and robotics engineering firm JACE and NK Labs. What set the device apart from conventional straws is the sharp bend in its shape and the three eye-shaped holes. In addition to the opening at the bottom end, the extra holes are positioned in a way that allows drinkers to take a sip that's equal parts mint layer and bottom chocolate layer.
Now, this is just for the chocolate Shamrock Shake, and I don't know if we described exactly what it is. It's been called the liquid version of the Andes Chocolate Mints. The drink is layered, so there's a chocolate layer and then a mint layer.
When they make this, they put the cup under the chocolate part of the fountain, and they serve up like half of the cup, so you're getting chocolate, and then they move it over to the Shamrock Shake side, and they turn that spigot on, and then you get that.
Have you worked at McDonald's? Because you seem to know.
I'm sending a resume over. I'm going to have afternoons free very soon, so I'm looking for something.
Dear Ronald McDonald, right. My name is Bill Leff.
Yes.
Remember your old song, McDonald's is your kind of place?
I just got back from outer space, and I'm looking for work. Thanks for blasting me into it.
Now, how much does the straw cost? And do you...
That's a question that should be involved in the story, but for some reason they've left it out. I have no idea why, because that's pertinent to the story, but they don't say how much it costs.
Only 2,000 will be available at select stores this year. And, I mean, they're not disposable.
It looks very sleek and very high-tech. It comes in a package that looks like something you'd get at, like... any of the tech stores that you go into, you know, if you want to buy space
Best
age
Buy
stuff.
Or something.
Not even Best Buy, but you know the places in the mall that sell you all kinds of like chairs that give you massages, or speakers that also make ice cubes.
Sharper Image?
Like Sharper Image, yeah.
It looks like a miniature snorkel.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of grayish silver.
It's very sleek, but I'm not going to spend money on a straw that you have to wash out and bring back with you because it's never going to make it back into your car.
I'd be surprised.
You'll wash it at home. You're not going to go, oh, I'm going to put my McStraw in my purse for later use.
I'll keep it handy. Who knows when I'll need one.
McDonald's has already had a great market on their straws because the McDonald's Coke tastes better than any other Coca-Cola you've ever gotten.
You were telling me this, and it makes sense. Tell everybody, because
I get
this.
Well, first of all, a lot of people said it was the syrup. I know you think that's why, but you're wrong. Actually, most restaurants have their syrups delivered in plastic bags. Coca-Cola brings McDonald's special stainless steel containers that keep things a little fresher and preserve the ingredients better. So they don't add any extra syrup to it, but they do take steps to make sure the syrup is served as identically as possible at all of their restaurants. Kind of a pre-mix thing,
mm-hmm.
or pre-McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have read that their straw is slightly bigger, so the carbonated goodness hits your taste buds all at once.
I guess that makes sense, but what would prevent you from just taking a standard straw and just drinking more? You know,
because
like take a faster slurp.
You can do this little experiment.
Right.
And anybody, I mean, I'm a Diet Coke fiend. I really am.
Yeah.
And I love McDonald's Diet Coke. But maybe bring it home and use a smaller straw.
Yeah.
And I've
done it. It's not as good.
It is not as good because you don't get, like, kind of similar but different. I don't like spaghetti because to me that's not a big enough bite of pasta. And a bite, I'd rather have rigatoni or mustachioli or something
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
So with this bigger straw, more soda is hitting your tongue and you're enjoying it more. If it's a more narrow straw, you're not getting as big of a sip.
So knowing that, why wouldn't they have huge straws? Why wouldn't they just do like a straw
you'd
that's...
choke.
Okay, that's a good reason.
It would come in too fast.
Right. All right, I can see where that would work against them. All right. But this is the same company that throws rattlesnakes in your face and then blasts you in outer space. What do they care?
It's not really true.
That part's not true. All right, Steve, thanks. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, you and I have mentioned this many, many times. You've been out of the dating pool for quite a while, as have I, and it's probably a good thing because some of the rules have changed, you know?
Yeah, I just don't know how to date. I wouldn't know how to date.
I don't know how I would handle it. I've got a friend or two that are no longer married. One of my closest friends got a divorce a little over a year ago, and he tells me how things have changed since his first round of dating 30 years ago.
Jeez.
And he said the rules are just different. Everything about it is different. Listen to this story. I think it will illustrate my point. After going on a date with a man that she met on a dating app, a London-based clothing designer named Lucy Brown decided that she wasn't interested in going on a second date. So far, perfectly normal.
It's her prerogative.
They went on a date. It wasn't quite what she had hoped, right? Couldn't be more normal. Lucy then texted him to let him know that there would not be a second date. However, it says here on MSN, she was not prepared for his reaction. While the man in question didn't exactly go off the rails, he didn't take it too well. He replied to her that he was devastated and then asked that she pay him back for the drinks that he bought her on that first date.
Okay, that is not how it goes.
I don't think that's how it goes. I don't think that's how it goes. When I got the text, I was crying with laughter. I honestly thought that he was joking, Lucy told The Sun, a British newspaper. But then I realized he was serious. Hi, thanks for your honesty, his text read. I had a really nice time with you, and the truth is I'm a bit devastated after having read your note. I really fancied you, and I saved up some money to take you on a very nice second date. As if it didn't work out, I'd be grateful if you could send along something to contribute for the drinks that I spent on you, thinking that I would get to see you again.
See, can I tell you, this is why, and I can't speak for all girls, but I can speak for myself, that when I was dating, I didn't want a guy to pay for me because then I felt like I owed them something. And that's exactly how this guy operates.
See, here's where I'm stuck, because I understand that. I so understand that. And I don't think a woman should ever feel that she owes the guy something. It, especially that first date, is such a trial period. You don't know if you like each other. You're just trying to see if there's any kind of chemistry.
That's why you should go Dutch on the first date, I think.
Well, here's where I come into a problem. I'm so much a believer in equal rights. I so am. I could never, ever, ever let a girl pay for a date. It's not that I was expecting anything. It's just that in my head, that's the way it's always been. And
that's
even
a pride thing for you, though, I bet.
I don't know if it's... I guess you could file it under pride. I just don't think I was ever on a date once where I would expect the girl to pay. I'd ask her to pay. I'd want her to pay.
Oh, no, but what if she said, you know what? This is our first date. We're just kind of getting to know each other. Why don't we split the bill tonight?
That happened a few times.
And you wouldn't let her?
No.
Then I would have left.
That would have been it.
Yeah, because I would have said then he's expecting something. If he pays, then he thinks I have to pay in some other way.
That's interesting. I could see, I see that side. I get that. And I wish I was better about that. I mean, it ended up not being a factor, right? I dated my wife, very poor girl, had no money to speak of, still doesn't. And yet she's the one who gives me the $20 every day,
I know,
so I can exist in the world. So what do I know? But, yeah, I was on a couple of dates where that came up. Right, hey, just so you know, we'll split this, right? No, I can't really do that. I got to pay.
See, right there, I'd go, okay.
But it was not, believe me, I was not expecting the mere fact that I paid
I
for a meal
didn't.
And drinks, that didn't mean that I
know
was expecting.
You, though.
Yeah.
If I didn't know you, and I'd be like, oh, God, look at this guy.
He expects something for this.
Or just, you know, he's right away not listening to what I'm suggesting. There was no compromise.
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too.
So good you're married. Me, too. Because, really, I no one would ever date me. I'm too mean.
You'd find somebody. I'm sure there'd be somebody.
Yeah, the devil.
Maybe the devil. The devil might do it. But how about the gall of this guy?
That's unacceptable. But you said she's a designer, so...
Right. She must be doing okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we're guessing she's doing okay. She's a London-based clothing designer. She's probably doing all right. I'm sure she has a couple bucks, but that's such a bad tactic. Hey, we went out on a date, and here's what it cost me, so why not a rebate? Because I didn't get a second date? That doesn't work.
No, the first date is a gamble.
Right. The first couple of dates, don't you think the first two or three dates, after like three dates, then you kind of go, okay, we have enough in common. This is good. There's a chemistry here.
He should be happy that she said, you know what, I'm good. I don't think I want to continue this. What if she just didn't know how to tell him and
right.
They had five, six, seven dates?
Good point. I agree with that.
So he has no business trying to get money back.
Did you ever go out? Was there ever anybody you dated one time? Just one time
like
when you went.
Like a dinner date or something?
Yeah,
or?
And when it came up either at the end of the night or with a call or... Yeah,
yes.
You just said, this isn't going to... We can't go farther than this.
No, it was a weird... I cannot name names because it was someone I worked with.
Someone in-house?
Yes. And he asked me out and we went out and we played pool and had a great time. Just dinner, no big deal.
Yeah.
And he was dropping me back off at work because I worked late night.
Yeah.
And
in the radio business.
No, this
just
is
for clarification. just for new listeners to the show, I just want to make sure.
And I just said, and we had been friends at work, whatever. And I just said, hey, great, I had a great time.
Yeah,
we should do this again. Really,
yeah.
No committal thing or anything.
Yeah.
And I went to kiss him on the cheek, and he looked at me like, "What are you doing?"
Oh,
so I'm like, I guess we didn't have a good time. And then it was kind of weird at work, and then whatever.
Oh, I bet it
was.
I
saw him and everything's fine, whatever. But at the time, I just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And then that's when I would rather have the honesty, like, oh, my God, I had so much fun with you. You know, I'm kind of seeing somebody, but I thought you were a nice girl and
right.
We had fun and let's do it again. I would, you know, say something like that. It was just it was a very weird
I bet it would have been.
Because we had a great time. Maybe it's because I beat him in pool.
That's what you did wrong.
I'm not kidding. Maybe that was it.
Do you think that is it? Do you really think so?
I don't think so. No, it just didn't. It seemed so weird.
All right. There's a lot of people that want to weigh in on this. We just told you the story of Lucy Brown, a woman who went on a date that didn't quite gel real well. And then when the guy asked for a second date, she said no. And he wants some of the money back from that first date. How does this sit with you?
And will he get it?
He's not going to get it. 312-981-7200. He's not going to get it. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, we have to share a story. Actually, our producer, Elif, who's sitting in for Kevin today, has to tell us the story. Again, there's a woman who went on a date with a guy, one date, and then said, you know what, there's not going to be a second date.
Right.
And now the guy says, well, you have to reimburse me for some of the money.
Right.
That's just crazy.
I can't believe any guy would have the gall to do this, but he has done this. The woman, Lucy Brown, who's a clothing designer, said, I thought he was kidding. I didn't think any guy would really do that, but he saw more of a future for the two of them that actually existed. So he wants a little rebate on the date. Now, Elif, as you mentioned, is filling in for Kevin. You have a similar story to this, correct?
Yes.
What happened?
It's not as bitter, but it doesn't end well. I was hanging out with a friend that I hadn't seen in like a long, long time. So I thought we were just going to hang out and catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And we had dinner together. We ended up having some tacos.
Mm-hmm.
He, when the bill came, he took his card out, and just to be polite, I offered to split the bill. And he said, no, no, it's okay. Maybe, you know, maybe Venmo later or something. Mm-hmm. I thought he was just saying that to say that. Well, the very next day, he requested $20 from me on Venmo.
It's an app to, like a PayPal kind of thing?
Yeah.
And actually, I bought him ice cream for dessert because his birthday was coming up.
Oh.
So did you send him a Venmo saying, give me half of the
ice
cream?
You owe me $4.80.
No, but I totally should have. I should have.
Okay, I cannot believe that. Was it a really expensive bill for tacos?
No, and he had way more than me.
No. Oh.
He makes more money than you.
But did he look at this? Did he think that this was a romantic situation, or did he know that this was two friends just going out and having dinner? What did he think this was?
Well, he must have thought the latter.
Yeah.
But as the dinner went on, it started to feel more like a date. I thought he was really cool and nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
until he sent you a pay request for $20.
A pay request, yes, for $20.
I can't even imagine that. I mean, like, I almost feel this has to be a joke. Just so you contact him again and go, really, dude, what are you doing? Oh, you got you. Because I can't believe somebody would do that for reals.
Right.
Well, I would have paid it. I would have split it with him if he had said in the moment instead of passive-aggressively.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Asking for it later, yeah.
He doesn't listen to the station, does he?
I don't know.
he's not an old friend anymore.
Nope.
That is really disgusting. Can I give you the opposite of this story?
Yeah, what's the opposite?
Do you remember you mentioned this story? Jeannie Bouchard is a tennis player,
mm-hmm.
and she, during the Super Bowl, she tweeted that the Falcons are going to win because it sure looked like it at the time.
Right.
And some dude tweeted her back and said, well, if the Patriots win, then we have a date, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she responded, sure, because it really looked like it wasn't going to happen. Well, she decided to stick to her deal, and they went on a date.
She's not only
beautiful.
A great tennis player, she's a very, very pretty girl. She's from Canada. She looks like a model.
I think she is a model.
Oh, does she do some modeling, too?
I think she might be.
But I even said to you at the time, I go, I'm sure she thought this was a million to one shot, so she agreed. A lot of people would have backed out of it because they'd go, I don't know anything about this guy. He just follows me on Twitter. Do I really want to subject myself to this? But she did. She went out on a date with him.
Yeah, and I mean, we looked him up when this came out, and he's kind of cute, I got to tell
you. Is he, yeah?
So she kept her word, and the Canadian tennis star, and now she's a swimsuit model, too.
Oh, she is?
So, yeah, a model. They went to a Brooklyn Nets game recently, and she has now, according to TMZ, which the world has changed when TMZ is your real news source.
They've been pretty accurate lately.
She is down for a second date. As TMZ previously reported, the tennis superstar made a bet with the guy during the Super Bowl, saying she'd go on a date with him when the Patriots came back from that impossible 25-point deficit. They did. They met in New York City for the first time, went to the Brooklyn Nets game, and there's a video of themselves, or the two of them. They've done like a little selfie together, and she has agreed to a second date, and he's really cute, and they make a lovely little couple.
They look really happy. The picture you're showing me indicates they seem to be happy.
He's not a bad-looking guy.
He's not. No, she. seriously, I don't know if she was able to see him or know anything about him when she agreed to this date.
I'm sure she looked him up because he tweeted at her, so you would click on the link and look at his picture.
Yeah.
Although a lot of people use fake pictures. You got to stop using John Hamm's.
I use John Hamm's picture. And then when I'm with people who know me, I still have to wear that John Hamm mask all the time. And that gets cumbersome. But
how lucky is this guy?
Wow.
And we tried to get a hold of him. And
he's got some ties to Chicago, right?
Yeah,
did he live
Kevin
here or go
said
to school
that
here?
He's from here, the Chicago area, but he goes to school in like Mississippi or something like that.
That sounds right.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
So we tried to talk to him, and then the story kind of went away. But now
there are
we
a couple.
Should try and talk to him because how does this happen?
What a great story. Should they get married and have a family to tell your kids, hey, I'm married to your mom because I won a bet. I won a football bet.
Yeah, but then they can't tell their kids, get off the phone and stop using social media because otherwise
it
they wouldn't be there.
It led to their existence.
All right, Tom has a comment. If you're on a date, Tom, happy Friday, by the way. If you're on a date and things aren't going well, do you ask for a refund on your date?
Oh, please, never.
Never.
calculated risk. It is what it is. But I had an interesting experience a long time ago. It was when I was doing the whole dating thing, and I went out and met a girl for a couple of drinks, and the conversation was kind of no big deal, but we got along, and it went on for about a half hour or so, and she kind of excused herself, went to the bathroom, came back, and says, well, I'm out of here. This is going nowhere. And I go, okay. But before you leave, would you like some, do you need insurance? And she goes, no, why? And I go, well, at least I can make this tax deductible.
So you sell insurance, obviously. Did she take you up on that?
No, she actually got mad. I was like, oh, why are you getting mad? I just have a little fun with the moment, but it is what it is.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm sorry it went so badly.
No worries.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye-bye.
I'm trying to remember, there's only one girl, like during the time that I dated, there was only one time, I think, that I ever went on one date with somebody. Like every other girl that I ever dated, it went 3, 4, 5, 6 deep or more, but there was only one girl. And the reason was the weirdest reason. Like we went out and we had a great time, and then I left for Florida the next day for 2 weeks. And then when I came back, I was just thinking about getting back into the swing of life,
so you
know, working
like
in school.
She didn't make an impact on you because I know you. And
I would have been more pursuant.
Because
right?
Listen to what you just said. So I go to Florida, with a family vacation?
Yeah, it was a family vacation.
I go to Florida, family vacation, having the time of my life. I come back and I'm like, you know what? I got too much to do. You obviously weren't interested in her.
Well, it was just one date, so I didn't know enough about her. I guess
I didn't care to know more.
I could have been. better at that one, I guess. But then like the second week I'm back, I'm like, I should call her again. And then I'm like, oh, now it's been 3 weeks. If I'm her, I just go, I don't remember you, and I hang up or something.
If you were on a family vacation, if you wanted to see her again, you would have found a way.
Yeah. And then I remember one of my friends who fixed us up, she said, you know, they have phones in Florida too. You could have called her in Florida and said, hey, I'm back in a week. Let's set something up. And, that's true.
How old were you?
17 or 18, 17, I think.
See, I think that's pretty sweet that you were still going on vacation with your parents.
Oh, yeah.
My husband was like that too. They went in their high school years. They went on vacation with their parents.
Yeah. I loved it. They paid for everything. It was great. I would still go if that was the offer. All right, let's take a quick break. Ro and Anna will be by in just a few moments. They'll tell you what they have coming up on their show. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Happy Friday to one and all, including you, Ro-Con.
Oh, Wendy, what is that supposed to mean? Ro and Hannah.
Because it rhymes.
Anna DeVlantes is off today, and Hannah Stanley is in today.
For simplicity, we call me Hannah Stavlantes.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case.
Well, I'll just do that. I do that anyway because,
you still call me my maiden name, and I've been married for 10 years.
I've known you a very long time.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's why. I think that's why it is.
Yeah.
I remember when you were born. I'm like Benjamin Netanyahu when he was talking about the son-in-law, and he's like, "Don't you remember we held you on our knee? Don't start a nuclear war."
Something God, like the that. Impressions, I swear to God. Fred yeah. Travellina has nothing on you.
I know. Oh, Fred Travellina, he is my hero. He's of all the great mimics of all time. Fred Travellina is number one. Hey, his Reagan just killed. Arne Duncan is going to join us. You know, he's former Secretary of Education. And now they got an idea. He's talking to a Chicago school. This is kind of interesting. They're offering an app to kids in the Chicago Public Schools that are going to create safe passages for them to and from school.
Oh.
Isn't it sad that it has to come to that?
To me, it's amazing that everybody's got a phone for the app. I mean, that's part of it, too. It's like, it is, yes, it's sad. But it's a technological overlay that may have a,
But if it works, yeah. That helps.
Right. Yes. Now if we could just get an app to figure out where every guy who's about to shoot somebody is, that would be very, very helpful, too. So we'll talk about that with Arne Duncan coming up in a few minutes. Also, Susie Sunshine will be here. Markets soar, and what does that actually mean? What is the wind beneath Donald Trump's magic carpet? That was a question that was being asked on CNBC today, and there's a couple different answers for it. And then the president actually acted very presidential today.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, I thought so.
In the restroom?
No. Hold on a second. You know, the older you get, the longer this takes. he was at Boeing, and he read off the prompter, and it was, you know, with the exception of one little, you know, bobble of something, which he always likes to take a shot at somebody.
Yeah,
he was very good.
Who did he take the shot at?
Well, he was talking about how nobody thought he was going to win in South Carolina, and he won. So he's still talking about it.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
But then he went into the speech, and it was great, and they introduced the new 787 Dreamliner 10, and it is the they showed Air Force One, and he was like, "Don't you think I should get one of those?" I mean, basically turned to the 787. Do I get that?
Right.
He did say this, and I thought it was weird. He goes, "You know, I used to get paid a lot of money for these speeches. Now I don't get paid anything."
Oh, that's too bad.
Really? You're president of the United States.
Did Harrison Ford wander into the meeting and get in the way?
No. Don't get on my plane. So pretty much a Trump-free zone. We've got Richard Roper here to talk about the new Fist Fight. You've seen that Ice Cube, Charlie Day, the commercials for
yeah.
that movie?
Yeah.
Whether or not that's worth seeing. And The Great Wall with Matt Damon. He explained a little bit of this when he was here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's all I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. But with the plot. The plot is... It's a monster movie. It's
right.
not about the Great Wall of China or some sort of like, you know, Mandarin.
A wall that other people
you know,
are paying for. No.
Versus
okay.
Han. You know, like you know, no, no, no.
Wow.
No, it's just a totally separate situation.
With a lot of stars that are famous in Asia but are not famous in the United States.
Right. It's an East West production, and it's about these dinosaur dogs.
Yeah.
Basically, dinosaur dogs that apparently were caught peeing on the wall, and they had to do something yep. about it. There was something weird happened.
Right.
I don't know. We'll talk about it. All right.
Have a good show, guys.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend, guys.